shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. This is Mark Kent, and I'm your host once again. Today is Sunday, September 6th, 2015, and wow, we're back, and my sister's back in the studio. She was on her trip to Arlington and all over the place. And
yep. 6,000 miles later, guys.
Wow. So she's got a lot of stories to tell. And then we're also here in the studio with Red Smith.
Morning.
Good morning. And our trusted producer and soundboard operator and all-around great guy, Bob Martin.
Morning, Mark. Morning, Linda. Morning again, Red.
Very good. Listen, we'll get to all our other stuff, but we got a special guest today. Usually we play as clips, Greg Hunter. Well, you know, we have him in person on the phone.
Yes, we
today,
do.
So I'm really excited about it, so we'd like to get right to it. Are you there, Greg?
Yes, I am.
Good morning, Mr. Hunter. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. You play my clips. What clips do you... I don't care if you play them, but what clips do you play?
Oh, we just get your weekly wrap-up, and we'll play segments out of it every once in a while just to kind of get the weekly news thing. And then we also play it so that people can go to your website and donate and do all that stuff and try to help
you're
you
out. You're very kind. You're very kind. I just, you know, you're very kind. Thank you very much. What can I do for you?
Well, you
know,
I'll tell you what. We've been on the same wavelength for a while. it's unbelievable. But, hey, how's the recovery going out there, Greg?
Yeah, the fake recovery, the recovery for Wall Street, the recovery that's propped up by, you know, phony accounting since 2009, FASB, Financial Accounting Standards Board. You know, they have been since 2009, they allow companies, and the banks were big beneficiaries of this, to value their assets at whatever they think they can get for them in the future. Now, of course, the IRS, you know, they value assets at mark-to-market, you know, whatever they can get for them today, that's mark-to-market. What the government has allowed, what the FASB has allowed, and the government has thrown holy water on this, is they can mark assets at whatever they think they can get for them in the future, mark the fantasy.
So it's funny.
And then all the, you know, the money printing, the QE and the stealth QE, and the, you know, the fraud, I mean, massive amounts of fraud, you know, and now there's, it's not any, you know, now it's not just a you know, a baseless accusation. It's settled cases where, you know, they rigged the Forex market, $5.3 trillion a day. That means they rigged the gold market, the silver market as well. They rigged LIBOR, which is, you know, hundreds of trillions of dollars of interest rates are set off the London interbank offered rate. LIBOR is what it's called globally. It's just, it's unbelievable. I mean, you, the bankers, there's no way they can go to jail. They can launder money for, you know, drug cartels in countries like Iran on the, you know, number one state sponsor of terror, according to the State Department. So,
you're breaking up a little bit there, Greg. Oh, no. Are you still there, Greg? Oh, we lost Greg Hunter. Oh. Well, maybe
I think he's driving in some mountainous terrain, so we may lose him periodically.
Well, yeah, if he comes back here, we'll try it again. Maybe you can recall him. Yeah, it's like everything he said,
and then some,
and then some. Absolutely. I mean, you know, he's right. I mean, that's why I play clips, because he's right on the beam. And, you know, he's totally right. I mean, they've been, the government is so deceitful at this point, so dishonest, so corrupt, that anybody who's believing anything. I mean, I'm listening to the news yesterday locally about they're hiring some teenagers for the coffee shops or Dutch Brothers. And they're all the economies, now that the economy is getting so much better and the confidence is coming back and all this stuff, and I'm thinking, what freaking planet are these guys
on? Has anybody watched the market over the last 2 weeks?
Oh, who cares? You know, did we get Greg back?
We do have him back.
Well, I don't know where you left off, but the recovery is one giant fraud fest.
Well, you know, but we've got the unemployment rate down to 5.2%. I mean, you know.
which is more fraud. I mean, we pay the government to give us phony numbers. I mean, this is a big, giant fraud fest. I mean, if you look everywhere you look, it's a big, fat fraud. We wouldn't need 0% interest rates if we had a recovery. Right. We wouldn't need all the QE, and they're thinking about a third QE if we didn't have a recovery. If we had a recovery, would China be selling our bonds?
Well,
China is selling our bonds, and people are like, oh, we're going to have QE4. Let me tell you, the next round of QE could freak people out around the world, and they could sell our treasury bonds.
Well, I think it's going to be QE to infinity and beyond, Greg.
Well, the problem with that is that it can't go to infinity and beyond, because if you're a holder of our debt, and according to John Williams, at least $16 trillion of liquid U.S. dollar assets are held outside the country. Now, if you're in Sri Lanka, or you're in China, or even Russia, I mean, our enemies would hold our debt. It was so pristine. Well, now, if you're a holder of our debt, and then you hear, oh, my gosh, they're going to have more massive amounts of bond buying, money printing to prop up the banks, what would you be doing with those assets? Because really all a bond is a ball of dollars, and then it is supposed to get to be a little bit bigger with interest, and you're supposed to get your dollars back plus some more dollars. So it's really just a ball of dollars.
Wow.
And what happens if you're going to devalue that ball of dollars that you're going to get paid back in? Well, sell.
Yeah, what could go wrong? As you always say, Greg, what could go wrong?
Well, and listen, Alan Greenspan, that little weasel, Alan Greenspan, who wrote a big, you can Google Greenspan in 1964 and find out how he really feels about gold, which is it protects your assets against, you know, government money printing. That's what he wrote in 1964. You can Google it. Alan Greenspan's well-known piece.
I think it's Alan Greenspan and Economic Freedom will get you there.
Yes, okay, so you know all about it. So, but, you know, now that little weasel, you know, destroyed Glass-Steagall, which meant that people like Goldman Sachs got insurance, and that these banks, that these what used to be called investment banks, didn't get insurance. You know, you make a bad bet, sorry, CEO gets fired, and bank, goes into receivership. Well, not anymore. They removed that line, and they're Democrats and Republicans, and signed into law by Bill Clinton in 1999. They all held their hands and saying, kumbaya, well, this is wonderful. And, but listen, look at the stock market. I had Craig Hemke on from T.F. Bettles' report. He's a Wall Street guy back to 1990, and he says, we don't have markets. You know, with 75% of the trades are done by computers. And, boy, that is front-running is what that is. You know, that's just front-running trades. You know, who needs to make, 500,000 trades in 2 seconds?
Well,
who needs to do that?
Well, the banks need to do that to keep the metals driven down, I think.
Well, at some point, they're going to not be able to deliver. And what point is that? I don't know. I think they're setting the table here in September, and what they're going to find out is somebody has come in and glued the plates and the glasses onto the tablecloth, and then somebody's going to say, hey, y'all, watch this, and try to pull the tablecloth out, and everything's going to come off on the floor in October. We're getting, you know, wild gyrations. I mean, opening up 1,000 points down, oh, whoa, that's not what the plunge protection team wants, and the mainstream media ignores all of this. There is a president's working group on financial markets. You know, it's the CFTC, the commodities. It's the SEC, the stock exchange. It's the Treasury, and it's the Fed. That is the president's working group that are rigging these markets. And if we had such a great, robust economy, they wouldn't have to rig the markets.
Wow. I know it's amazing that they just keep doing this and keep doing this. And like you say, you know, there's no mainstream media that reports this. I mean, everybody looks to Fox like they're heroes, and they don't touch any of this stuff.
Oh, my God, no. And listen, and they report this stuff in the paper like, more fraud at J.P. Morgan or more fraud at Citi or they paid $700 million. That was the last fraud I think Citigroup paid for ripping people off. Just fraud. I mean, how does Jamie Dimon have a job? I mean, J.P. Morgan Chase and Jamie Dimon, how does he have a job? If you add up all the fines, restitutions, and losses, it's like $30 billion. You could have bought Dell Computer, and you could have had $4 or $5 billion, to boot.
Wow.
That's what the losses are. I mean, here he comes out. Remember a couple of years ago he came out and said, we're going to have $2 billion in losses. Oh, the smartest guy in the room only missed it by $4,200 million. It was $6.2 billion. That's how much he missed it. And he was involved. It wasn't like he discovered it. I mean, his top lieutenants in this whole deal testified in front of Congress. Oh, yeah, Mr. Dimon wasn't. Yeah, he knew all about it. Yeah, he was talking to the regulators. He knew all about it. How does he get to make false statements like that, bang a big raise, and then go, I'm sorry, it's $6.2 trillion, not $2 trillion. What? How does he have a job? And nobody in the mainstream media will criticize him.
Well,
it's outrageous.
I like the way you use the term lieutenant because it kind of reminds me of the Costa Nostra. I mean, that's what these guys really are. You got Jamie Dimon, you got Blank Fine. I mean, they're too big to jail, it seems like, because they've got everybody in their pocket.
Let me tell you something. If we had a working, functioning capitalistic economy, if you believe in capitalism, then you believe in bankruptcy. And Jamie Dimon made some stupid moves with AIG. And he got bailed out. And now, 7 years later, after AIG, and they would have been bailed out, 7 years later, he is now a billionaire. He should have been a greeter at Walmart. If you need a government bailout to sustain a company, you are an absolute failure. Warren Buffett, that weasel loaned money to Goldman Sachs. Oh, that was a great deal, wasn't it? Well, yeah, but it would have been so great if they would have gone under and they should have been taken to receivership. He loaned money to General Electric. Remember that one for 10%? Well, that wouldn't have been such a great deal either if the Fed and the Treasury wouldn't have come in and backstopped all their debt.
Wow.
And American Express, another one of his companies that got a government bailout. Wells Fargo, another one of his companies. His fund would have been decimated back in 2010. That other weasel, his weasel buddy, Charlie Munger, said, well, you just have to get over the bailouts. No, you guys should have gone to receive. Your shareholders should have taken a whack, should have taken a pie in the face. Instead of it being $100,000 a share, it should have been about $5,000 a share.
Well, I think the market is going to correct at some point anyway, because you can't just keep fooling with Mother Nature here.
Well, listen, it's massive, known. I mean, the robo-signing, remember that robo-signing? That's a fraud. That was a huge fraud. You know what that was? That was, let me explain to you what a promissory note is. Okay, you think you paid, you have a mortgage?
I think I do.
Okay, you have a mortgage. Okay, and you have how many years left to pay on that mortgage? How many years do you have?
Well, mine's a short-term mortgage, so it's probably not the best applicable. But,
well, let me tell you about your mortgage. You already paid for that house.
Right.
When you sign your name to a promissory note, it's paid for. Now, they can take it back if you stop paying. But otherwise, how could they collateralize the debt if it wasn't worth something? It was the payment stream, your name. And I don't mean a copy. A promissory note has to be the ink on the paper, just like a Federal Reserve note. You can't go down to Kinko's or go to your high-quality color copy and, print out $100 bills and go to 7-Eleven, buy Slurpees and get change, can you? No, you have to have the original numbered note. And that's the same thing with a promissory note. So when they start this robo-signing, you know what they were committing? Forgery, perjury, and fraud on the court.
Now, didn't they rehypothecate everything as well and resell and sell, and that's the derivatives deal?
That was what happened with MF Global.
Oh, I see.
But they also cut up all the debt. They also cut up all the mortgage debt, where to the point to where this debt was in tranches of debt, right? And listen, a friend of mine is a real estate attorney, and I said, hey, is this happening? And when Figpen, Register of Deeds, made national news in Greensboro, that's where I live, and he said, hey, there's a problem with that, actually, who owns your house? Because, every time they sliced and diced this debt, they didn't pay the fees, there's a problem with the chain of custody. So So I ask a real estate attorney, hey, have you seen here in our area where somebody has paid off their house to, you know, like let's say Wells Fargo, and then J.P. Morgan Chase comes up and says, hey, you paid the wrong people. That was our, that mortgage was in our tranche of debt. And you know what she said to me?
What?
Yes.
Wow. So nobody knows who owns the property? Why, you know.
If it's in Mirrors, the mortgage electronic registry system, you go try to find your promissory note and don't let them hand you a copy. Mm-hmm. No, I want the original one with the ink. That's what the robo signing was. Forgery. This wasn't people just doing fast signing. They had to have a, you know, ink on the paper so they could go take the houses back.
Wow.
And
nobody goes to jail.
Nobody
charges.
Nobody goes to jail. Then that Weasel Miller, that the attorney general up in Iowa, was sent to head up to make a deal. Now, well, you're supposed to make a deal, Mr. Attorney General in Iowa. You're supposed to protect the people you serve in your state. You're supposed to put people in jail. You're supposed to take criminals, and you're supposed to prosecute them so other criminals will get the bright idea that they can just rip people off and steal. Instead, they negotiated a settlement. Oh, it was negotiated. Oh, we have to have a settlement. Why? Why are we protecting these pigs?
Wow. You know, and
you cannot fix the economy. Let me tell you something. Here's what Mr. Donald Trump is not saying, and it's this. You cannot have a robust economy laced with massive fraud and financial engineering and interventions. We don't have an economy, we have interventions. And the fraud, you have to stop the fraud. And that is not a way to run the economy. And there's no way this economy gets better until you get rid of the fraud. And I'll tell you, well, last thing I want to say, Bernie Madoff, he had a $60 billion fraud, and it went on for a long time. Even with people blowing the whistle, Markopoulos, saying, hey, they got a 12% return. How could he do that? Right in the SEC. Well, they're watching porn at the SEC, and nobody goes to jail. You know, like polluting that river out west recently, the EPA. Anybody get fired over that? Oh, no, not our government employees. Oh, no, nobody can ever get fired. But Bernie Madoff went to a Southampton home one weekend, and he had a lovely time and dined out and walked on the beach and smelled the ocean air and came home down on the Long Island Freeway and got to his nice fat apartment in New York and went to sleep in his silk pajamas. And then the next morning woke up and got his latte and got to his office by, at 8:30 or 9 o'clock. And by 9:30, the FBI walked in, cuffed him, and he was done. And all that to say this. And all my reporting in investigative reporting at local TV and ABC and CBS and CNN, sorry, CBS, all my local reporting had a lot of fraud stories. And you know what the one thing about fraud you can say in every fraud? Frauds end quickly.
Yeah.
Frauds end quickly. Remember that. This economy is a giant fraud.
Mm. What?
And
I got one more question.
It's going to end quickly. Go ahead.
I got one more question because I just need to get your opinion on this Iran nuke deal. I mean, is this going to go through? I mean, are they going to make it happen?
Here's President Obama's big policy victory. He can override a veto. It looks like. And these Democrats, and let me tell you something, they're going to turn this into a mud fight in the Senate. Because there are 10 Democratic senators that are up for re-election in 2016, and I suspect all 10 of them are going to have one hell of a hard time saying yes to a deal where the Secretary of State sits in front of Congress and says, I don't know what's in the side deal. Oh, the side deal is the main inspections of what they're trying to stop, the inspections of the nuclear sites that are military. And that's, quote, a side deal. And our Secretary of State, and I heard him say it, said he didn't have access to it. It's confidential. The whole thing's been treated secret. If it's such a good deal, let's see it. Oh, confidential. I don't have access to what the UN inspectors are going to do, the protocol of inspecting the military nuclear sites of Iran, which is what this whole monkey spike has been all about. trying to stop Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. Oh, really? And you don't know what's in the quote-unquote side deal? Shouldn't that be a main deal? Shouldn't that be the main point? How are we going to inspect your nuclear sites? Oh, yeah. Side deal. And everything's been treated secretly. It's a secret.
Well, I mean, isn't this really a treaty? And this, can't the Senate really stop this? And I think someone is actually starting
somebody
to challenge
it. Somebody should file a lawsuit against that weasel, the Obama administration, because this is a treaty. You know, there's an old saying in the law that says, if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. And this looks like a treaty, walks like a treaty, sounds like a treaty, it's a treaty.
Yeah, I gotta agree. And this is, and our Republicans kind of sold us out on this TPA, because doesn't this feather in with what they gave him more power to do by saying this is an agreement instead of a treaty?
No, those weasels, Paul Ryan, you know, making that, that's another secret. It's a secret deal. You know, that's what Fox News, I can't believe Hannity did it one day on his radio show. Boom, that's it. One day. Secret trade deal. What's in it? Oh, it's a secret. Classified. Really? Such a great deal? You know, when Ted Cruz and Elizabeth Warren agree that a deal sucks, you know it sucks.
There you go.
You know, you can't make this stuff up. It's like
can't make it up. When Ted Cruz and Elizabeth Warren are in total agreement on a deal that sucks, you know it sucks.
Wow. You know, and like you always say, I love listening to you. You know, it's too stupid to be stupid. At what point in time do you call this what it is? I mean, isn't it? I think this is treason across the board, but we get it soft, you know, soft soap. It's just insane. I mean, what the hell's going on up there?
We don't have a functioning media. You know, there's a guy at the Wall Street Journal, I think what's his name, Seguero, his Hispanic name, and he asked the Fed in a meeting about how they leaked out information ahead of time, and Wall Street banged some money on some trades, and it's illegal. And he asked the Fed why they close to it. You can look it up. The Wall Street Journal reporter is a Hispanic guy. They just got rid of him. He asked the Fed why they kiboshed the investigation. And they're blah, 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 you know, in a couple of weeks, and he's out the next meeting. He wasn't allowed to the meeting. And then, a few weeks later, you know, he tells them, hey, the Fed's meeting again. Ask him about, telling his fellow reporters, ask about this, ask about that. Guess what the Wall Street Journal did to him? Fired him.
Wow. If you blow the whistle, you lose your job at the...
He just asked the question, hey, how come you kiboshed this investigation on what obviously was inside information, where you lost banker buddies, made crap loads of money? And he got fired for that.
Wow. That's just...
Look it up. Google it. Not my imagination. Look it up.
It's unconscionable.
He didn't get fired. They didn't renew his contract. That's what they told me. You know, when I said all the banks were in trouble, which is the best thing they ever did for me, because I don't have to pretend that this crap isn't going on, and I don't have to act surprised when it blows up.
Well, HSBC is already blowing up, it looks like. They had a failure on Friday, and they left thousands of their employees facing a bank holiday without pay, evidently.
Hey, let me tell you something. You know what they were talking about 4 or 5 years ago? They're not talking about it now because it's so frightening. There was a panel on it. I can't remember who it was or whatever, but it was big people, and that's why I remember it. And they were talking, hey, the next time this blows up, it may not be one Lehman. It could be 20 Lehmans.
Mm. Wow.
Now, you think about that.
Insane.
I mean, this is we had seven, what do we have? We had 700, roughly, 700 trillion in derivatives when the last time it blew up. We had, now we have, a quadrillion in derivatives. We have 1,000, that's the official number for the Bank of International Settlements. They attacked the debt problem by, you know, getting more debt. It's like you're getting ready to go bankrupt, right? And then you say to yourself, hey, let's apply for 10, 15 credit cards and get a $10,000-$15,000 limit on every one of them. And guess what? Your life is good for a few years.
Well, I think the deleveraging is already starting, and I think you're right. Once it starts to steamroll, this thing's going to go downhill so fast and hard that I don't think people are going to realize until they wake up in an apocalyptic economic scenario.
Well, here's my fear, and let me tell you something. Greenspan warned, and I want to get back to Greenspan because I didn't finish my thought on that. We got cut off, or the thing cut off.
Sure.
But Greenspan was out warning, and all this is reputation repair. And I think now he's telling the truth. Before, he lied to us and got us into a mess. you know, oh, we don't see bubbles until they happen. Oh, the housing market's going to be contained. Oh, subprime's going to be contained. Remember that one? Huh? Remember that one?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I was on the air going, contained? It's not going to be contained. It's going to blow sky high. All aspects of real estate are going to be, yeah, right. Well, guess what? I was right. I got a general studies degree, and he's got a PhD in economics. I was right, and he was wrong. How can that be? How can he be that stupid?
He can't be.
But anyway, now he's warning of a bond bubble, and he's warning. And this is the listen. The debt market, by orders of magnitude, is way bigger than the real estate market, way bigger than all the global stock market. If you talk about the debt markets, you know, the Irish bonds, the U.S. bonds, the, you know, Euro bonds, the Japanese bonds, all the bonds, okay? And he's warning of a bond bubble. Well, there's all these people, oh, we're going to have QE4 and the stock market would take off. You know, I'm not so sure that's going to happen, because if we have another massive round of money printing, QE, quantitative easing is what they call it, you know, the crap to try to make it sound better than what it is, you know, scientific, we're just going to print lots of digital money. And but the next time that happens, you might have people freaking out. A, you know, the rest of the world is in a tailspin, and they may need to cash in their money. You know, if you get into a financial problem, you lose your job. Don't you need to go get your savings?
Yep.
Don't you need to tap your savings?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the rest of the world, the third world, and the developing world is in a problem. They're kind of, you know, facing some real financial problem. Wouldn't you want to tap your bonds, your treasury bonds? You know, the most liquid market in the world. Wouldn't you want to tap that? And what would happen if they all of a sudden said, "Hey, we're going to print money like crazy"? Or what happens if they were doing it by stealth and it got out, something that big? Yeah, I could be able to keep secret.
Well,
I'm telling you, folks, everything is on sale right now. Everything is on sale.
I think the bond bubble's about ready to burst. I mean, we got the stock market.
You better go to Costco and buy some rice and buy some water. And, I mean, that's what Jim Sinclair told me off camera. He says, you know, you're going to need to be able to make it for 3 to 6 months. I mean, you know, what's going to happen is that, you know, the credit's going to seize and nobody's going to, you know, deliver their fuel, deliver their groceries. Nobody's going to do work if they can't get paid. And we live on credit. I mean, you have these brilliant computer models that work great as long as everything works, and that's the just-in-time supply management, which, you know, you go to your grocery store and beep, barcode, and it orders a new product for you, right?
Right.
How does it order a new product? It orders on credit. Well, you know, it's going to be, you're going to have supply disruptions. We're still going to have food. We're still going to have water. It's going to be logistics. It's going to be the delivery and the payment system of it could be massively impaired. Man, I could be wrong. And if I'm wrong, food is a very cheap insurance policy.
I agree with that. I mean, if you look at Venezuela right now, they're starting to do the exact same thing that you're talking about, and it's getting ugly. And I think it's going to be here pretty soon, and I've been warning people for a long time. We need to pay attention, because they're going to, when the bond bubble pops and everybody's going into the dollars and trying to get to there, they're going to be devalued. There's no place else to go but the precious metals.
You do need some cash. Yes, you're right about precious metals. You do need some cash, though.
Yep.
And there's a guy on 321 Gold wrote this piece, 2010 or 11. His name is Bob Mariotti. He has 321 Gold, the site 321gold.com. And he starts the piece by, I'm going to make a lot of people mad. I can't exactly how, but, you know, I'm going to say something. A lot of people may get upset by this, but cash is going to work really good for a short amount of time. And this is a guy with a gold site. And he said, cash is going to work really good. I don't know if it's 3 weeks or 3 months or I don't know, but it's going to work really good for a short amount of time. And so you need some cash.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I totally agree with that. I think that there's going to be, a crossing of the Rubicon into real assets at some point. But in the meantime, people are going to be looking for that cash to get them through.
Well, let me just close with another thing this is a Helen Keller moment for me. I talk to these really smart people. And they come up with these ways to, you know, be instructive to tell people. And, you know, I told you about the derivatives. Now it's a quad. That's the official number. Now some people say it's 2.5 times. You know, it's 2.5 quadrillion in derivatives. And this is what is creating false demand for all these crappy bonds. All right, in effect. And you know, the global debt was at the time. Back in 2008 when the last time it blew up was about 70 trillion. the GDP, I'm sorry, the debt grew by 40% since the last time. That's what I want to say.
Right.
But here's what I want to, the point I want to make, and just to show that the debt is growing. And so we have, Chris Martinson said, you know, it's like, imagine a big stack of paper. And so you got a big stack of paper, and the last time we blew up, the stack of paper got bigger. But the stack of assets, gold, land, artwork, you know, that kind of stuff, that stack didn't get much bigger. That stack didn't get much bigger at all. Now, when people realize that this paper is no good, the bonds are no good, now imagine a world where the bonds, the assets, they're going to be running into the stack of real stuff.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And, yes, and so, and that's the last thing I want to say. Listen, folks, we've been told that debt is money. When you pull a dollar bill out, it's a Federal Reserve note. Remember the promissory note? That's a debt instrument, a note. That's debt. We've been told debt is money, and debt is an asset, bonds. Okay? We're going to find out neither is true.
Well,
debt is not an asset. It's a liability. Always has been, always will be.
J.P. Morgan said money is gold and silver, nothing else.
Yeah, everything else is credit.
Yep, absolutely. Wow.
Everything else is credit.
Hey, we love having you on, Greg.
Yeah.
Gosh, we want to get you back. You're kind of a hero of mine, sort of, you know, a little bit of a mentor behind the scenes that you didn't even know about for me. And, you know, I've been listening to you for, you know, years now. And I got to say, you know, I just love I love listening to your weekly report every week.
I probably worked 20 hours on that, putting that 15 minutes together. I got to surveil everything, and I leave stuff out. I mean, you know, but I try to get what I think is really, really important. Incidentally, Hillary Clinton, she's in big trouble.
I hope so.
We hope that she is.
Yeah.
I got to go. I'm getting pulled over. Bye.
All right, bye.
That's great, Gunner. I guess we
should
get a break.
We want to thank you for that. Yeah. So with that, I guess we're going to go to a break. If you want to call in and talk with us about the interview we just had with Greg Hunter, give us a call at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Running your own business. You already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The Shasta Library Foundation presents Taste of Greece on Saturday, September 12th at 6 p.m. at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Taste of Greece is an evening featuring Greek cuisine, beverages, entertainment, live auction, and music with the Pat Karch Quartet. Benefiting the Shasta Library Foundation Endowment Fund and projects at the Shasta Public Libraries in Reading, Anderson, and Burney. To reserve your seat or table, call 246-0146 and learn more at ShastaLibraryFoundation.org.
Want to have a great cup of specialty coffee that is reasonably priced? Well, head on down to Tobacco and Brew. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco and Brew can fulfill all of your coffee and tea needs.
Then walk next door to the most complete tobacco shop in Northern California. These cigs of all sizes and flavors, a walk-in humidor that has the finest cigars as noted in Cigar Aficionado. Tobacco and Brew, coffee, wine, tea, and a fully stocked tobacco emporium. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Open 7 days a week. We'll see you there.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds. I'm getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stopped. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Yeah, everybody look what's going down. I think the stock market is going down. Keep it going though, Bob.
What a field day for the heat. 1,000 people in the street. Songs and they carry inside. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time to stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Yep. Does anybody actually still believe we're in recovery? I mean, seriously. I mean, how many people out there keep... I mean, what do they have their head taped to the freaking TV or something?
You mean recovery like we're in rehab?
That's what it's like. It's like we're in rehab and they're telling us we're okay.
Yeah.
You know?
They just don't want to look. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, it's all around us. It's everywhere. It's everything.
Well, and the stock market is going down and it's not getting better. And I guess the proof will be in the pudding. The problem is at the point of no return, when it's too late and the panic sets in, you'll have lost all your money already.
It's a temporary correction. Buy. Oh,
that's
buy,
right.
Buy.
Isn't this? Isn't there some kind of an assumption of solvency here? That,
yeah.
An inappropriate assumption of solvency.
Yeah, an inappropriate assumption of solvency. You know, and we got to thank Greg Hunter for coming on and telling the truth. I mean, the real deal is that this is the truth, and I guess it'll be borne out as time goes by. We're trying to save people from losing everything. We didn't hit the part about the retirements. I mean, I know that you were talking about CalPERS this morning, but, you know, we've been talking about Jack Lew. And
we've officially changed the name to Dead Man Walking.
It just, you know, it gets better and better. You can't make this stuff up.
I don't know if it gets better and better, but it keeps getting...
Well,
more of the truth gets out there with people like Greg Hunter and us doing what we do.
Well, for CalPERS, it's... coming very close, and it's actually to the point for some people that have gone for their retirement money and have been told, I'm sorry, you don't have a retirement, you have an inappropriate assumption of solvency.
Oh. Is that with a blended glide path?
Yes.
Yeah.
They mitigated market volatility on the blended glide path, and the blended glide path at the end of it is an inappropriate assumption of solvency.
You know, I'm not sure, but BS is the way I would term that. It's a
yeah. Well, I just
move along. There's nothing to see here, folks. You know, watch this hand over here.
It's blended crap.
Yeah,
is what it is.
Well, that's you take those three terms, and they're very telling. You know, inappropriate. It was very wrong of you.
I heard this when you said
assumption.
This morning. I thought it was great.
Yeah. Assumption. Yeah.
You're stupid.
You know, how dare you assume what we're telling you is correct, idiot? Of solvency, we have none.
Yeah.
It's
perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's perfect.
It's not just broke. you know, it was inappropriate for you to believe us that we weren't broke.
It's like J. Jonah Jameson, you know, Spider-Man, you know. It's like, just make up the headline, you know.
I'm going to get you, web-slinger.
That's right. Criminal Spider-Man saves another child.
Exactly.
Anyway, we have Terry on the line, and I believe he has a question. Are you there, Terry?
I'm going to Costco. Get out of here. Get to Costco.
Yep.
He's starting to sound like, what's his name for the Democratic Party there for a second?
Hey, what a great guest. Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Mark. What a great guest. Sissy, welcome home, babe.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You need to thank Linda because she does all the heavy lifting on the
guests. Oh, my gosh, Linda. What a great guest.
And, yeah, he does.
I have a question for you guys. Maybe you can kick this around for a second because you were talking about the blended glide path and the inappropriate assumption of solvency. What do you think about these financial advisors? I know my father-in-law gets 4 or 5 invitations a month to Cattleman's or someplace else for dinner with some financial advisor who's going to advise him on stocks. What do you think about that whole thing?
Here is what you have to ask the question to, of an advisor, is how are they getting paid? Okay, is he getting paid to sell you stock or bonds or whatever he's selling, or is he getting paid strictly for the advice that he gives you? Okay, that's the huge deal there, because most of these guys are stockbrokers. Most of these guys are selling you mutual funds or selling you bonds or selling you insurance, selling you something. Well, if you're selling somebody something, does that mean that you're unbiased about the whole thing that's going on in the market? I don't think so. I think that if you're paying a person just strictly to consult you on the market and issues, and they get paid based on the correctness of their calls, that's a whole different ballgame. So you got to look at that when you're going to some of these seminars and figure out, how's this guy getting paid?
All I have to say is, can you say Obama carried away? The same thing.
Well, I know
they're selling you something.
Well,
as far
you can keep your doctor, you can keep your plan.
Yeah, they make it sound so good.
Well, that's something we can kick around too. We can talk about how the federal government's going after 401ks and IRAs now to put them under fiduciary responsibility to the federal government. That's a whole other topic.
Yeah.
But as far as these financial advisors and these bankers go, we clampers have an expression, and it's hang these guys that don't know their father.
So what you're saying then is you go to the dinner, you eat the food, you drink the wine, and you use the information they give you for musket wadding.
Well, pretty much, yeah, because, anybody who's selling you stocks right now, unless,
really?
You know, where they're profiting off of the selling of the stock, I think you need to stay as far away from. It's just like if you ask a stockbroker, what does he think about real estate? What is he going to say? He's real estate, you want stock. Call up a real estate agent and see what they think about stock. Oh, you got to get into real estate. See, it's all based on, they're making a commission, so their opinions are skewed. There's no question.
Well, thank you guys for a great show. I'll let you get back to it. Thanks again, and great show. And welcome home again, honey. It's great to have you back.
Thank
you. We want to hear all about your trip.
Oh, you will.
There you have it.
Financial advisor, if you're paying somebody to give you advice, usually whose interest do they really have at heart? It certainly isn't yours, usually.
There it is. I'm going to Costco. Awesome, Bob.
Awesome.
Everything is awesome, it's all great, and then pretty soon it will be, $36 for a cup of coffee at Starbucks, even though prices are falling right now. And, it's like the tsunami, the wave pulls out way out and you look, wow, it looks like we have a really exceptionally low tide right now.
Yeah, it gets real quiet before a tornado, too.
Yeah.
It gets dead silent and then wham.
It's true. The real deal is that we've got a tsunami coming, whether we like it or not, whether we know it or not, hey, let's go. I got an idea. Let's go surfing.
Yeah.
You mean it's that point of the tsunami where all the water retracts and
right.
You can see the beach and all the idiots are running out to go, oh, look at all the cool stuff on the beach.
It's a buying time.
Take my picture.
It's an opportunity to buy some more stock.
Look at
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
After what you just heard, if there's even an inkling of truth there, Do your own homework. Don't believe us. Do a little homework. Quit, you know, pull the plug on MSNBC or see, you know, MSLSD. Pull the plug on CNBC. I mean, because the real deal is they are lying to you. I mean, the government is lying to you.
Kramer wouldn't do that to me.
No, Kramer, what a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He gets your best interest at heart, doesn't he?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
He's got a ponytail. I mean, you got to believe him.
Yeah. Oh, is that it?
Maybe that's it.
Oh.
That's how I pick my financial investors.
Well,
sure.
You know, that's how Richard Simmons picks his. Oh, look, he's a pony.
Well, I'm thinking it may be another way he picks his, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. Richard Simmons is all about the blended glide path.
He's all about the blended glide path. That's exactly right. He's blended his glide path. I mean, guys, let's stay away from that because.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at. You know, an article here from Sovereign Mind. There is huge incentive to fudge the numbers here. Okay.
Really? Yeah.
No.
Well, that's you're seeing headlines like this. Europe's biggest bank dares to ask: is the Fed preparing for controlled demolition of the stock market? That sounds good.
What is that?
Europe's biggest bank dares to ask, is the Fed preparing for a controlled demolition of the stock market?
Well, I think if they raise interest rates, you know, then they are doing it on purpose because it's like ground zero. You might as well push the button, boom, because that's what's happening here. I mean, you know, we don't know. Well, I guess our theory will pan out one way or the other. Either we're right or wrong, and, you know, everybody I talk to says this is the preliminaries. This is the run up to the big deal. And if we're wrong, hey, no problem. Buy some more stock. If we're right, try to get out before it hits bottom.
Well, I think they're trying to control the collapse right now. I mean, you're watching the plunge protection team pulling the plug on the market 12 to 1500 times a day to stop the fall.
Yeah.
I mean, they're trying to, you know, some months ago they said that they were going to attempt to cushion the collapse.
Wasn't there some kind of something to do with the plumber in the Watergate years? I mean, so now we had the plumber at the Watergate Hotel. Now we've got the plunge protection team.
Yeah, and they're plunging, baby. They are
at the White House.
Yeah. They're plunging like crazy.
Yeah. I think it's starting to back up, though.
Yeah.
You know, that's the problem. It's starting to back up, and you can't fake it because, you know, geez, at some point in time when it spills out, we're still on the blended glide path to glory, and the stock market, oh, this is a temporary setback. Now's the time to buy. Really? Does anybody believe any of this crap? I mean, look at the unemployment. How can you say it's 5.2? We're back to 2008 levels before the crash. Does it look like anything at all like 2008 right out there right now with a thriving economy? Am I the only one that is like, you know, thinking that's stupid? I know. No. Bob's got something to say. He's got a look on his face.
Only if you ignore those 94 million jobs that disappeared.
I know!
Well, you're not supposed to count that number.
Yeah.
Don't you know that?
You're
not supposed to count those numbers.
Here,
don't still count.
Zero Hedge. A record 94 million Americans not in the labor force. Participation rate lowest since 1977. If you look at the chart, it's on the blended glide path to destruction here. I mean, this is like almost, you know, if it goes any farther down straighter, we're going to get a hockey stick here pretty quick. And so how can they even say it? Because they lie about everything.
No.
What about the 51% or plus that's on welfare? I mean, you know, come on. That's, you know.
Do they count them as employees?
Oh, they might. Maybe that's how they do it.
Well, that's it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's like, you know, we've got, you know, New York. I got a little story here on New York here, and I'm trying to pull it up here. But let's see.
You know, and that's talking about one of the things that our guest was talking about is, you know, our bonds, and China's liquidating our bonds. They've dumped over $100 billion worth of American debt in the last week. I mean, they're trying to get liquid as fast as they can.
What could go wrong?
Yeah. And they're buying up the gold at the same time, but nothing's going on here, right?
Yeah. Well,
yeah, what's the problem?
You know, and you just can't make this crap up. It just gets worse and worse and worse. And you watch about, oh, we just got a minor correction. No, we're down like 12% in the last, you know, month or so. And, you know, it's not coming back the way it's looking. So we'll have to wait and see, I guess.
But how bad of a crash are we really talking about here? Are we talking about that there's more people out of jobs and the government's going to step in to, you know, issue food stamps and, you know, things like that and subsidize housing and things are going to be bad for a while? Or are we talking about an extinction level event for our economy?
I think you're talking about an apocalyptic event here, in my opinion.
Move on! Nothing to see here! Please disperse! Nothing to see here!
But
please!
We're just fear-mongers, you know, that have a, you know, we're just a radio, a little radio show that is, you know, what could we possibly know that MSNBC and MSLSD and Fox News, why wouldn't they report all this? I mean, I'm looking at...
I got a question. What have you been wrong about so far?
The time frames.
No, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was going to happen a while ago.
Well, it did happen a while ago. It happened in 2008. And like you said, they just went and got a bunch of credit cards and bought more time. Right. We should have let it hit the wall in 2008, and we'd be coming out of it now. Now they've made it so bad, I'm not sure we get to come out of it.
Yeah, the world's headed for some real strange territory. I mean, we've never seen this scale of over-leveraged world governments and central banks and economies. And, I mean, when you're talking about, what, $2 trillion or I mean, not $2 trillion. I'm sorry, 200 trillion, 700 trillion, what is it, quadrillion?
Yeah.
Well, we don't even know what it is, really. I mean, it's numbers we can't even say.
At what point does the number not even matter anymore because it's so ridiculous?
When it goes pop, okay, like you said, there's still going to be real assets out there, and those are what people are going to be running to because, you know, all this big, huge paper, digital, you know, massive amount of nothing but air bucks, as we call them, it goes pop, and you go, oh, wow, now I can buy a cup of coffee at Starbucks for $50. And you just have to say awesome.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm looking at here's an exclusive from the dailymail.com. You can go to the dailymail.com. I guess the Daily Mail is in, UK. Well, they need to know, and we don't, right? Exclusive, New York, 2015. And what's the date on this? September 6th. It's really ancient history. Oh, that's today. Exclusive, New York. 4,000 sleeping on the streets, 80 homeless encampments in the city, beggars making 75 a day as a rest for panhandling and street drinking plunge. So it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse, but everything is awesome.
Yeah.
I think we need to go to a break.
Do we need to go to a break, Bob?
Well, we're too close to the top of the hour.
Oh, well,
we only have a few more minutes.
Oh, well, why go to a break then? Let's just continue our march down memory.
we'll make it up next hour.
Well, that's fine. You know, so we're talking about all this stuff, and you know, the stock market futures down, unemployment rate drops to, a 2008 low. I mean, the statistics are so skewed, and we've gone over this over and over and over again, but, you know, we're trying to stress to people out there that right now you're in a window of opportunity to hopefully save your boat, you know, before
we sink.
Yeah, before
even your private funds now, your 401k and your IRA is being targeted by the federal government by an executive order that is attempting to place your funds in the direct purview of the federal government under fiduciary responsibility. It's basically a seizure of privatized retirements on the scale of Obamacare.
Yeah.
Well, like I say, you can't make this stuff, you know, this stuff up. So, you know, where do we go from here, I guess? Oh, I don't know. I mean, there's, you know, we need to start looking at the real issues here, which is going to be, you know, survival, in my opinion, of for 3 to 6 months or more, you know, till the economy starts to mellow out. And, you know, the big problem is that there's going to be a bunch of people out there that aren't prepared for any of this because, hey, I'm too busy playing baseball.
Right. And it's time they accept the truth.
Yeah. So,
you know, that's what it comes down to, accept the truth of what really is going on and doing something about it and quit letting them, the government, meaning them,
well,
do whatever they're doing.
you need to not only be preparing yourself, but I think doing everything, working overtime to set up a localized infrastructure to attempt to make it through things like local farmers co-ops and things like that, where you can do food exchanges and share resources. I think it's coming to that.
Well, you know, when we're not too far away from it, so.
Sounds like something out of Atlas Shrugged.
Well,
maybe.
Well, you know.
But that's what it's going to take, I think, to get back, or at least protect ourselves a little bit and have a little of something.
Well, and why doesn't the media report this? I'm looking at this story from the Daily Mail. They are sleeping in front of the Empire State Building, sprawled in front of the door at Macy's, panhandling outside of Grand Central. New York is in the grip of a homeless epidemic so bad that it has raised fears in the city, slipping back into the disorder of the 1970s and 1980s. The city police chief this week said that there are as many as 4,000 people now sleeping rough in the street. In a crisis in which the city's... Oh, yeah. That's what we get enough the freaking media.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is what we're getting. You know, we're getting this pandering BS crap of everything's great. Don't worry. We're in recovery. Life is good. Go out and buy some more stock.
Yeah. And to get my free cell phone. I got to get my
them out in Shasta Lake. You can go get an Obama phone.
Yeah.
And you can keep your doctor and you can, yeah, okay, I guess we're going to go to
I guess, no, we're going to go to the top of the hour and we're not going to have a choice here, and we'll pick it up on the other side.
I'm Michael Harrington. German Chancellor Angela Merkel is discussing Europe's migrant crisis with her coalition partners today, even as Syrians, Iraqis, and others stream into her country for the second straight day. Should the U.S. help?
I think we do have a responsibility in terms of taking some more folks in, making sure they assimilate, and at the same time helping people to actually be safe as they move. That's logistical support. But this is fundamentally an issue that Europe has to come to grips with.
GOP presidential candidate John Kasich on ABC TV's This Week program. Defense Secretary Ashton Carter says the U.S. will, quote, redouble its efforts to counteract malign activities by Iran in the wake of the Iran nuclear deal.
In an op-ed in USA Today, Secretary Carter says the deal would remove what he calls the Middle East's greatest danger, a nuclear Iran. He also says the deal would be more durable than a military strike. At the same time, though, the defense secretary says the deal would not limit what he calls the U.S. military's important work to check what he says are those destabilizing activities and stand by our friends in the Middle East.
Correspondent Linda Kenyon. Congress is expected to vote as soon as this week on whether to accept the multinational deal which aims to curb Iran's nuclear ambitions. Today will be day number 4 for Rowan County, Kentucky clerk Kim Davis in jail. She's being held there for refusing a judge's order to issue same-sex marriage licenses. Yesterday, about 300 supporters gathered outside the jailhouse chanting, quote, "Thank you, Kim." Davis' imprisonment has ignited a furious debate over religious freedom and the place of God in government. A legal victory for supporters of Arizona's landmark immigration law. A judge has upheld the law's controversial requirement that police, while enforcing other laws, can question the immigration status of those suspected of being here illegally. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Two little tablets is all it takes to make your thin hair feel and look thicker and fuller. Guaranteed. Viviscal is the number one drug-free hair growth supplement in the U.S., with one box being sold every minute globally. It's clinically researched to promote existing hair growth for men and women, and now a 90-day supply of Viviscal is offered in your area risk-free, plus free shipping. Call 800-280-9595. Viviscal nourishes thinning hair from within. You'll love your hair growth results, guaranteed. Viviscal is so effective. It's recommended by top doctors. Here's Dr. Grant Stevens, board-certified plastic surgeon.
I feel confident recommending Viviscal to women with hair loss, thinning hair, or even dry or brittle hair. It's 100% drug-free, and it's backed by years of clinical research.
Want to try Viviscal? Every listener that calls now gets a 90-day risk-free supply plus free shipping. Call now, 800-280-9595. 800-280-9595. That's 800-280-9595.
China's central bank governor says the country's currency is stabilized in an apparent effort to dispel fears of more big declines following a surprise devaluation that rattled global markets. The governor says the yuan's exchange rate against the dollar, quote, tends to be stable. He made his comments at a meeting of finance officials for the group of 20 major economies in Turkey. The governor's comments appear to be aimed at quelling fears Beijing might allow the currency to fall further in its efforts to help struggling exporters by giving them a price advantage. The remains of Holocaust victims stored for decades in a French medical school have at last been laid to rest. Several hundred people gathered today for a somber burial ceremony in eastern France for the victims. The corpses of dozens of people were sent to the Anatomy Institute at the University of Strasbourg for Nazi research. Some remains were buried after the war, but a few were saved and some even put on display. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Turn off the TV and other electronics and reap the benefits of reading a good book.
Today, September 6th, is National Read a Book Day. Studies show that reading is great for improving memory and concentration as well as reducing stress. Reading books is among brain-stimulating activities shown to slow down cognitive decline in old age, leading to a slower rate of decline in memory and other mental capacities. Val Dior reporting.
Today is Sunday, September the 6th. It's the 249th day of 2015. There are 116 days left in the year. On this date in history, 1901, President William McKinley was shot and mortally wounded by an anarchist at the Pan American Exposition in Buffalo. McKinley died a week later. On this date in 1925, the silent film horror classic The Phantom of the Opera, starring Lon Chaney, had its world premiere at the Astor Theater in New York. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right. But we came to fight.
We are Americans.
Somebody's gotta stand up. Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside. I am American.
Sovereign Mind Radio. Geez, if you've been listening, wow. You know, are we telling you the truth or not? I guess is the question you have to ask yourself. And, you know, and what are the answers? I mean, what are the solutions to all this? You know, let's not go bury your head in the sand and, you know, or tuck your head between your legs and kiss your butt goodbye. That's not the answer. You know, the answer is start doing something to stop yourself from being a victim of the problem. The answer is buy food, store water, buy a gun, get some training if you don't have any. Recognizing the problem is huge. You have to recognize the problem that government in collusion with the banking and the corporations, you know, and the corruption of the capital system, of capitalism, is the problem. What's the answer? Liberty is the answer. Freedom is the answer. Less government, less intervention in the markets, and morality to go with that. Freedom with morality equals liberty. So it's not just about being free to do whatever you want. It's also about taking care of your neighbor. It's about the golden rule. It's about doing to others as you'd have them doing to you. That's how we lived in a free society before we were corrupted by the powers that be, through the money, through the education system. You know, what? That's the first thing that you do when you want to take over a country is you corrupt everybody. You debase the morality so they're much more easily led astray and controlled. That's what's been happening here. Anybody with a thinking mind can see it over the last 50 years. So what is the answer? We need to go back to the model that we used to have. Excuse me, I got a cough here.
Well, you have to put aside your ego and what makes you feel warm and fuzzy at the time and get your priorities straight into what's going on.
Some water.
You know?
Anyway.
That's what I feel. You know, people are so involved in... You know, what's the Smiths going to think if my kid doesn't go to soccer, if I don't have my kid over here?
It's all about, you know, getting stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all about having a new car, and, you know, it doesn't matter if I'm paying $800 a month in payments to have the new truck. It doesn't matter if my mortgage is overextended and I'm in debt up to my eyeballs. Most people out there are in debt up to their eyeballs. whether it's their mortgage, whether it's their automobiles, whether it's their credit cards. That's the problem. Who's benefiting from that? And then you got your taxes on top of that. Who's benefiting from all this? Gee, it couldn't be the banks, could it? It couldn't be the government that's skinning you out. See, we need to get rid of the income tax because that was the start of it. We need to get rid of the Federal Reserve because that was the start of it. We need to get back to the founders' vision of what America was because it took 100 years to overcome that vision and give us what we are now. We're not in a capitalist society anymore. We're in a socialistic society on our way to a communist dictatorship if we're not careful.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you can see that at many, many levels. Through the political system, through the financial system, you know, and like you said, it's not a capitalist system anymore. It's a captured crony system that responds to the powers that be. You know, it's this weird mix of fascism and socialism, and you know, it's all just different flavors of totalitarianism.
Well, and guess who's being targeted in that process? You know, I'm going to pull it up here. I'm looking for it right now. Who are the bad guys? Who are the government says the bad guys are? Well,
us.
Yeah, I mean, we're lumped in with terrorists, okay? Because sovereign citizens are now the top number one threat to the U.S. government, according to the Homeland Security pamphlet that I was looking at. I'm going to pull it up here in a minute and get it out of here. But, you know, you can't make this stuff up. You know, so how is it that people who want to be free, that people who want to have liberty, you know, have a free society that has some morality with it, how is it that they're at the top of the list right alongside Islamic terrorists? Wow. I mean, has something changed in this country?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's
not for the better either.
I seriously think I went to sleep September 10th, 2001, and woke up in the frickin' Twilight Zone. I really do.
Yeah, we should to play the Twilight Zone video here pretty soon. But you can't make this stuff up. You can't you know just shove it under the carpet and say it's not happening. The answer is waking up and joining the people who are trying to do something about it, whether it's the Tea Party, the State of Jefferson, the Oath Keepers, the militia, something. You've got to get involved because these people do not care about you at all that are in government. It's so apparently obvious, you know, from the local level all the way from the bottom to the top. Do you really think seriously that Obama cares about anybody but himself or his power?
Well, or his golf game?
Well, think about it. I mean, good grief. What has he done?
Yeah. And if you can't figure out what's going on by now, you're intentionally not looking.
Right.
I mean, it is being rammed down your throat. You can't turn around and not see it. You know, with our work with the Shasta Lantern and this radio show and the things that we do, we can't turn over a single rock and not find corruption and pandering and totalitarianism. It's everywhere.
Yeah, it is.
It's rampant. It gets to the point where it's almost depressing because you can't look anywhere and find anything clean.
You almost don't want to look at anything because you know what you're going to find. You think, oh, this one's okay. I'll you know, check this.
Yeah.
And you start digging and you go, oh, my God, not this too.
Yeah, I mean, factory orders are plunging. The unemployment rate is getting worse and worse. If you go by real figures, the stock market just, you know, had what they call the death cross pattern. You know, we've lost 12-13% in the last 2 months. You know, there's people sleeping in the streets.
Yep.
And we're being told that everything is just fine by the powers that be. I mean, really? So, anyway.
Yeah, they're fiddling while Rome burns.
Yeah, I can't seem to find this article I was looking for. It's I'll find it with the break. HSB pamphlet. It's the, not HSB, but the Homeland Security a pamphlet that shows who are the
top targets.
The top targets as being a threat to the government. So anyway, that's kind of where we're at. Maybe we should take a small break here, come back, regroup, and let's move on here and figure out where we're going.
All right. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605. 4567, this is KCNR, 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
They call me the mouth.
And I'm Red. They call me the bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic. Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame. I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday, September 11th at 7:30 on KCNR 1460.
Fall is just around the corner, and if you're looking for that special gift or a wardrobe fix, Dandelion is your destination. Located at 1322 Pine Street, walk into the all-new and expanded Dandelion Boutique, and you'll discover the largest selection of Brighton in the North State. Every day, there are new arrivals with the latest styles and colors. Let one of the gals at Dandelion help you select what's right for your body type. Friendly, always fashionable, Dandelion. Open 10 to 5:30 Monday through Friday and 10 to 5 on Saturday.
Summer is here and it's time to enjoy the great outdoors. Whether you're headed to the lake, Bernie Falls, going fishing, or throwing a barbecue, Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop for summer fun. Stop by the meat department for the best prices around and try our own country sausage made in-store. Mighty Fine has over 1,000 drinks to choose from, and we barbecue every Friday all summer long. So take up a tri-tip, rack of ribs, barbecue chicken, or a Polish dog. Stop by the deli for fried chicken or a sandwich made just the way you like it. We are a locally owned and operated family company at 299 and Deschutes in Bella Vista. Mighty Fine Foods, your one-stop shop on the way to the lake.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy and I'd like to thank everyone for their patience on deliveries. Having the boys on the fire has been tough, but bear with us, we will get to you, I promise. Danny's driving truck also, so give the girls in the office a call and we'll take care of your delivery. Kathy's got more forklift tanks coming in any day now. Robin in Corning has barbecue bottles on the exchange program, so give her a call. She's got red diesel at the pump or deliveries to your farm, ranch, or orchards. Joe at Weaverville's been very busy with the loggers and the firefighters at all of our CFN and Visa card locks. And remember, we have card locks in South Reading at the Muse Yard, open 24/7. Northern Lights Energy, supporting our local families and firefighters. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
From the moment you walk into Wellgate Sports Club, you realize this is more than just a gym. You immediately notice the white glove cleanliness and the friendly, caring staff whose words and actions speak to the pride they have in making Wellgate Sports Club Redding's premier lifestyle center. Wellgate Sports Club promises an upscale experience with high-end amenities and programs including a complete state-of-the-art workout facility, educated and credentialed personal trainers and lifestyle nutrition coaches who work one-on-one with you to help you achieve your health and fitness goals. Wellgate Sports Club features Redding's exclusive indoor saltwater pool, the Mind and Body Studio featuring Pilates and yoga, as well as the group exercise studio featuring Zumba, cycling, and more. Combine that with our complimentary lifestyle education workshops and member social events, and you'll see why at Wellgate Sports Club you'll experience exceptional every day. Get out of the gym and into the club. Wellgate Sports Club, 1740 Eureka Way in Redding. Call 768-1205 today for your personal tour. Wellgate Sports Club, first-class fitness you have to see to believe.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes. Smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Redding, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
One, two, three, four.
Jay Sekulow Band. Wow. He's an attorney.
he's actually one of the good attorneys there is out there.
He's the one attorney. His group, the American Center for Law and Justice, is the one representing all of the Tea Parties. Not all of them, but a big group of the Tea Parties against the Lois Lerner IRS Obama administration. And that's getting closer and closer to a resolution. We will have details coming up at some point in time. It looks pretty good, though, right now.
Groups that were not really being targeted?
Yeah, the ones that they didn't really lie about, target or malalign or put on a BOLO list or hide all her emails. And, they just found some more of her emails. And she's got several different, email addresses. And the latest revelation is that she was under Toby Miles, which Toby is her dog and Miles is her husband's last name, Lois Lerner. And so it seems that more and more things are coming out. There's another case that was decided against the IRS not too long ago that bolstered up the case. True the Vote has been involved in this stuff, and things are getting hotter and hotter and hotter for the powers that be And so we had to play that because, you know, something, not only is they, you know, the ACLJ, they're the good guys and they're great attorneys and so forth, but by gosh, they play pretty good music too. go to their website. They play a lot of good stuff. I mean, that's obviously Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young's Sweet Judy Blue Eyes. But, wow, you know, I heard that the other day and I was like, wow, those guys are those are our attorneys? And I'm thinking, wow, I like that guy.
No wonder we like that guy.
Yeah. Not only is he a good attorney, he plays great music. So anyway, we're...
Well, that's one of the things that I wonder about is, and, you know, we've discussed this, is we say that we see the tide turning in the country. And I think we really do. And one of my thoughts is as the tide starts to turn, as these things keep going, sooner or later, the things that have been done and the people that have done it, it's going to catch up with them. And to me, it's almost like the only option they have now is to collapse the whole thing before it catches up with them.
Well, I think that's what's going on because, you know, that could be in the cards because I'll tell you what, when the unions find out how much has been stolen from them, when the people that work for the government, all of them find out that they've been going after all of their retirement programs, when you find out that CalPERS and CalSTRS are insolvent, when you find out the depth of this corruption and the lies, if you're not mad, you're probably an idiot or a total wimp. You know, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that they tar and feather people over. This is the kind of stuff that they put you in the stocks down in the square back in the day. This is the kind of stuff people go to prison for and get hung for. This is the kind of stuff that the mafia does.
Yeah.
Okay? So.
And, you know, so is it reasonable that the only hope for them now is before it catches up with them, collapse the system and have people so worried about getting water and food and basic supplies, they don't have time to make these people pay the piper.
Well, and there's going to be a big, huge segment of the population that looks to the government to save them. Are you freaking kidding me? These are the guys that...
They are people, too.
Well, guess what? You're going to be hungry, and you're probably going to be in real deep trouble if you haven't been preparing. And you know something? At this point, you ain't getting none of mine or any people who has got a way to defend themselves because you know something? You know, it's like saying, oh, wow, your neighbor comes over and says, hey, you know, I went over and I built my pool instead of preparing because I thought it was a better investment to put money into my pool next door. But I noticed that you have a little extra food. You're not doing too bad. Can I have some? And the answer is going to go, eat your frickin' pool liner.
Well.
Yeah.
Well, we know one individual that said, you know, that they're not worried about it. They're not going to prepare because they knew that we did and that they would just come over.
Oh, my favorite.
I'm not going to mention the name, but, and it was like, okay, so when I see you walking down the road, you're the first one I'm going to pick off.
Well,
I'm just saying, you know
well,
what?
You know,
I know what you're coming for.
I'll take yours, you know, I'll take
yeah,
your
exactly.
stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, okay, then what you really are saying is that you are a criminal and a thief and possibly a murderer, and you will steal from somebody else regardless of the circumstances because you didn't prepare. And so I'm saying it's open season on guys like that.
Exactly.
And you're going to be hunted down like a dog. And also, by the way, I can legally shoot you if you're trying to steal from me in my house.
Yeah. You want me to, you know,
like there's
going
to be law
family.
Enforcement around to do anything about it anyway.
Oh, and that's all better than just preparing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a list of anti-preppers that we're going to go across.
Well, you're a waste of good air anyway if you have that mentality about what's going on and you're going to come take something.
Just know when it hits, if you see me coming up the road to your house, I'm going to have some potatoes or some peanut butter or some booze or something.
You better bring something for the soup because it's not going to be free.
Yeah, I'll be trading.
Anyway, we've got Bob.
we got Billy Bob from Palo Cedro on the line. Good morning, Billy Bob.
Hey.
How are you?
Good morning, guys. Hey. Thank you for all your work, Linda, going back to Arlington. That's
Thank you.
Tremendous. You guys have just rocked the boat again. Every Sunday I can look forward to just getting my apple cart turned over. Read your show this morning, et cetera, et cetera. That Greg Hunter, my God, it's scary. And here's the only thing I can add is that there is no way that we can allow these corrupt, bankers and all these people you guys been talking about get away with this. And Red, you said, yeah, they're just going to collapse the system so they don't have to be held accountable. Well, we can't let that happen, because you know how much misery is going to happen. I mean, it's total chaos. I'm a student of history.
I know.
It's absolutely unbelievable what would happen. And kids would starve. People, I would starve.
There's 7 million people that died in the last Great Depression. We are totally aware of what we're talking about here as far as consequences, believe it. But, you know, the real problem is, it's going to collapse. There's no stopping it right now, is the way things are piling up. It has to collapse. There's nothing else that can happen. So,
well, we're Americans. We cannot allow that to happen, is my point, because with what I've heard over the last hour and a half, of course, we don't have a chance. We're dead meat. Might as well just go out and shoot yourself in your head.
No, you never give up hope. There's always hope.
The answer is start preparing. The answer is do what you can. The answer is start, you know, network with people who are preparing.
Yeah.
The answer is start storing some water. Because the real deal is, it's like saying we need to stop the earthquake that's going to happen. You know something?
Right.
It doesn't matter how much you want to stop it. It doesn't matter how much you would love to stop it and prevent everybody from getting hurt. If the earthquake's going to happen, it's an event that can't be stopped, whether you like it or not. And that's what we're talking about here, is an economic tsunami of such a force. It's already in the works. It's going to happen. Now, if we're all wrong, then, hey, I'll be the first one to wear the tinfoil hat.
But you can't.
I'm going to give you one false idea. And I hope it's not, but there's only one man that can stop this from happening, and that's Donald Trump. And he's smart enough. He's not going to let his $10 billion go down the drain. He's not going to have to brown out his golf courses or anything. There's only one man with the dynamic ability and the smarts to do this. And I swear to God, if we get him elected and get him on the roll and bring all these bureaucratic agencies into the Oval Office, and he goes, you're fired, Department of Education, Department of Energy, Department of this, Department of that, send it all back to the states, and set the table straight here. There's only one man that can do that. That's Donald Trump. I'll let you go. I appreciate your show, but you rocked my boat. Okay, buddy.
All right, thanks, Billy.
It's not one person that can change it. We are the ones that are to change it, and we can make a difference. It's up to us to start cleaning the house and take care of it and changing what happens at the upper levels and for our future. It takes us.
One of the things that I agree with is we are Americans, and we are capable of anything. But that being true, we cannot deny what's coming. What we have now is a choice of how we come out of it and what we are as a nation as we come out of it, how fast we come out of it. And we can prepare and soften the blow.
Yes.
You know, one of the things I suggest for people is potatoes. You can grow very cheaply a huge amount of potatoes very fast in a very small area. And, you know, you're going to get sick of eating potatoes, but you can live on those things.
Yeah, well, we're going to survive. And you know something? The real deal is that the world is going to continue to go on. And the people that are prepared are going to it's not going to be as bad as all that, you know, that we can't survive. But the people who are unprepared are going to be the problems out there. I mean, I'm looking at the Anti-Prepping 101, the top unpreparedness skills to master now before the coming collapse. This is at Natural News, at naturalnews.com, and you can, you know, type in Anti-Prepping 101, and you'll see the article. And, you know, the real deal is that if you don't prep, you're in trouble. So, you know, let's talk to Andrew, and then I'll go through the list of skills that you'll need to acquire if you're not prepping.
Real quick, you mentioned an earthquake. What if there is an earthquake? You should be prepped for that.
Or a fire.
Right.
Yeah, or any number of things.
Or El Nino.
Yeah. Well, there's always hope. Did our founding fathers say, you know, we're doomed and let's just throw our hands up?
Or an out-of-control rogue president who thinks he's an Islamist militant.
Yeah, there's always hope.
And a first lady who's a guy. I know, I didn't mean that.
We're going to leave that one alone.
Sorry, it slipped out. You know, it was a Freudian slip. Yeah. You know. Yeah.
But we do have a caller on the line. We have Andrew and Bernie. Good morning, Andrew.
Yeah, quit picking on Michael. Good Lord. They're going to have to hide from this collapse. They're going to blame someone else. They're going to take us to war, quite likely.
Yep.
China.
Yep.
You know, to actual arms and a hot war in order to blame this so they don't get hung for this. And I foresee that, and tell me I'm wrong.
I think you're probably right. I hate to say it, and you know, every time I hear that, it just pisses me off. Not the message, but the fact that these people are that evil that they will start a war to kill millions of Americans and Chinese and whoever else they get involved for their little games of political power. And you don't ever see anything like that, right? Right. What about like Benghazi? That stuff like that never happens anymore,
no.
Does it?
No.
I mean, these guys are not like that. They wouldn't kill people just to retain power or cover up their
they sell children.
These people are cutting up children. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I mean, if that doesn't tick you off a little bit, then you are an immoral, evil piece of...
Yeah.
It's
true. Awful, as Dr. Savage says.
Yeah, because the real deal is that you can whitewash that all you want. Oh, they're just fetuses and they're not children, blah. But these are the kind of people that don't care about life.
No.
They don't care about your life. They don't care about your kids' lives. The only lives they care about are their lives.
And they think they're untouchable.
So, and we look at what Homeland Security has done with the amazing purchase of hollow point ammunition and various rounds, 7.62-39, 308, or 7.62-51. Lots of it. It's not just to keep it off the market. There's a reason for it.
Yeah.
Obama said he wanted to create a private,
a private army force. With as much strength as the conventional army, basically.
Are they funded now? Are they, the MRAPs, all the things. Good Lord. Anyway, we're keeping the faith up here and bullets, beans, and rice, baby.
That's it, man. Pass the ammunition and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hunker down.
Pray to God.
Cover
Absolutely.
Your back.
Because I hope we're wrong. I really, sincerely hope that we are just tinfoil hat wearing kind of guys. But no, I don't think so. The facts are.
Well, let's look at the next 2-3 weeks because it should play up then, I think. So.
Well, anyway, we'll find
God
out.
Bless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll find
There's
out.
There's a lot of people that think that way.
Thanks, Andrew. We appreciate the call.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye.
So, let's talk about, what you should be doing here. In the Bob's signaling that we need to break here, so let's go to a break and we'll come back.
All right, again, the number here is 530-605-4567. We'd love to hear from you. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than 7 East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. Centrally located in Memphis, Tennessee, GI Pathology delivers results to its nationwide client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to gipath.com for more information.
Want to have a great cup of specialty coffee that is reasonably priced? Well, head on down to Tobacco and Brew. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco and Brew can fulfill all of your coffee and tea needs.
Then walk next door to the most complete tobacco shop in Northern California. These cigs of all sizes and flavors, a walk-in humidor that has the finest cigars as noted in Cigar Aficionado. Tobacco and Brew, coffee, wine, tea, and a fully stocked tobacco emporium. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Open 7 days a week. We'll see you there.
Hi, Mark Story here to let you know that Haven Humane Society is taking great pride in serving the pet population and pet owners in the community. As CEO of Haven Humane, I invite everyone to check out our new adoption center and all the programs we have in place to help the animals in our care find their forever homes. And our spay-neuter clinic is also here to offer those families on a fixed income pet vaccinations and spay-neuter services. Contact Haven Humane at 241-1653 or visit us East Side Road off of 273.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Here comes that rainy day feeling again. Tears, they will be falling like rain.
Playing that, Bob. I don't care.
And I'll be dreaming of you, baby, in vain. Your face is always on my mind, girl. I'm hoping soon you're gonna find, girl, your way back to me. Cause if you say you'll stay, the rainy days will go away.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, it's good stuff. And, you know, it's interesting. You know who sung that? The Fortunes. I didn't know that. I thought it was Frankie Valli. Sounded like the Four Seasons, didn't it?
It kind of did.
Anyway, I got onto a Frankie Valli kick and ran across that this morning. I didn't come up with any Frankie Valli because Sherry Baby didn't seem very appropriate. But yeah, so I think the rainy day feeling is coming here, but... you know, the real deal is you need to start ramping up your preparation if you're not. Or just go drink a beer. I mean, that's the alternative. Hey, you might as well get drunk, okay?
Just give me beers till they get here.
That's right. Just stay drunk. I mean, and then you won't feel the pain nearly as much. And you know, but I'm thinking that, you know, in a perfect world, I would be 35 invincible you know.
I said I wanted to be 10 again, and we didn't have to worry about it. You know, we just went through life, and it was all good, you know, back then. We thought.
It'd be a different story if it was just me, but it's not.
Yeah, well, that's it. So we got to stay strong for our kids, our children, our grandchildren. That's the thing. And so, you know, you can't stay strong if you're ignoring the problem or pretending that someone is going to save us in Washington.
Yeah, it can't be on one person.
Yeah,
you know, we've seen this time and time again that, like, one person is going to make all the difference in the world. It's up to us to make the difference.
We're going to have a program next week. We're going to concentrate on resources for prepping, resources to get a hold of. But you need to ramp it up. You need to start preparing now. You need to start thinking in terms of this happening. Because otherwise, we have I've got anti-prepping 101 for all those people who want to drink the beer and do nothing. The top unpreparedness skills that you need to master now for the coming collapse, okay? And so the first one is standing in line for 12 hours at a time. I think that you need to get good at standing in line. You know, like in Venezuela, what they're doing right now is, you know, they've really discovered that your number one activity in the collapse will be standing in line. Not just one line, mind you, but lots of different lines. Because, you know, first there's the FEMA line where they don't give you food. You know, then there's the other another line for medication at the hospital where they don't give you medication. Excuse me.
Yeah, they always run out just before they get to you or something, you know.
You'll need to find the line for government-issued water, sanitized with chlorine, of course. Excuse me, I'm drinking some water here. The government-issued toilet paper and government-issued newspapers that keep you informed of what an amazing job the government is doing in keeping you standing in line. And, you know, the headlines will be, everything is awesome. Mm-hmm. Recovery's still going.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Not a problem.
Temporary correction, please stay on the glide path.
That's right. Please stay on the. You got to do that in like a, you know, like we had a cockpit voice, you know, bing. Don't worry, everything is on a temporary glide path to.
to recovery.
Never mind the parachutes you see out the side of the plane. Just ignore those. Yeah. Remain comfortable and stay with our in-flight movie here.
Ignore
on
the screaming.
Glide path.
Ignore the screaming. It'll all stop suddenly.
Here's your oxygen mask. This will keep you as calm as a Hindu cow.
Fortunately. We've got, you know, the government is already preparing a nationwide network of comfortable camps for anti-preppers where you can concentrate your work efforts to help the government exchange for food and protection. These are like summer camps, only different. They will be operating year-round. The resort, you know, these resort vacation camps are run by the FEMA, which upholds the essentially the same comfortable standards as the Hyatt Regency.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it'll be just like Private mm-hmm. Benjamin, you know, where's the pools and the...
Exactly.
Anyway, we have Lori on the line.
Yeah, we do, from Reading. Good morning, Lori.
Oh, good morning, Linda. Welcome back. I still Thank am you. Waiting to hear from your trip. I was just going to chime in a tiny bit with this month of September is called National Preparedness Month. I think that's kind of interesting that it falls in the Jade Helm time frame. I wanted to share with the listeners, there's a document that can be printed out. I just printed it yesterday. I was listening to Lisa Haven. I don't know how many of you are aware of her update. She's kind of like a Greg Hunter of sorts, but has her own focus. This document is called the U.S. Army Mastering the Human Domain, Identity Operations for
Minerva
Strategic
Project.
Land Power.
Yeah, Minerva
mm-hmm.
Project, yeah. That's that's Lisa
Haven. 2015.
I'm sorry, Larry, is that's Lisa Haven?
Haven, H-A-V-E-N, and she's got a YouTube thing she puts out like every week, and the one that it just was referred to, the topic, it's kind of a long one, I don't know where I put it, but anyway, this document I printed from publicintelligence.net, and this is /U.S. Army. Apparently, this was done originally in March 24, but for some reason, it's now available to all of us to go over page by page. So what she did in her 32-minute YouTube was identify the people that put this together. One of them was a foreign language translator for... You can see the purpose of that if the whole planet's going to be put in some sort of a affair. It's all it's a PDF form. It's pre-Jade Helm about the bionetics. Looks at propaganda, getting our guns. The NSA is mass surveillance. Looking at a term I'm not familiar with, main core. Something with your identity. I guess that they've done it already with Israel, so they can check your activities. Kind of predictive intelligence, right? Remember the cruise
hey,
movies?
Hey, Lori.
Yes.
What you're talking about, I want you to do me a favor. When you get off of this, go to your computer
forward.
And look up the DOD Minerva Project.
Okay.
That will open your eyes
Explain
to a
that.
Lot of this and tie it all together.
Yeah, I think she listed that, the DOD list of missions. Is that what you're referring to?
No,
human
the
domain?
Well, the human terrain team is actually a finger of the Minerva Project.
Okay.
So the Minerva Project is an overall understanding of what they call the human cascade, how information transmits itself, how people maneuver and herd-like mentalities, mapping what the human, how the human consciousness works in group mentalities and predictive algorithms, things like that. It absolutely exists, and the human terrain team is just a small, small part of the Minerva Project. But go look up the Minerva Project.
I will do that. Thank you so much, because we're definitely seeing that they're looking at eliminating alternative media, which is the last shred of hope that we have. I mean, I listened to Dane Wigington's show, Pete's show, Saturday. We're not getting anywhere near what's the real deal, and I really appreciate listening to your programs every week. And there's a group here in town called Prepare for Change. It's actually an international group. We meet once a month at the Celestine Center, so if anybody wants more information, I'm okay giving out my phone number. But we just look at these things that you're talking about, how to prepare on all levels.
Very good.
And where do you guys meet?
We meet at the Celestine Center of Healing. It's located right behind Orchard Nutrition. It's usually maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours. It depends on how many people show up. But we don't sell anything. It's no agenda. It's just people can come in and talk. I'm a clinician therapist, so some people are a little bit more emotionally undone and upset and frustrated and angry and confused. And we just all are coming in to figure out what is our plan. How are we going to get through, whether it's 3 weeks, 3 months, or longer? So many people are not preparing at all.
It's
going to affect us that are trying to prepare.
What night do you meet, Lori?
It's randomly once a month. This month is Wednesday the 16th. I believe it'll start at 7 or 7:15.
And what's the best place for somebody to go get information on that?
They can contact me.
Do you want to give me your number?
I'm at 530-247-3925, and that's my home office number.
Okay, very good.
And you spoke about Dane Wigington a moment ago, and I would like to say one thing. I would like to challenge anybody that is still on the fence about there's something going on in their skies with geoengineering. Go outside this morning and look up, and you tell me that steam that has a persistent life of 6 minutes creates a sky like that.
Well, even on the second, I took about 48 pictures, and then yesterday I took about 60 more. We were so slammed yesterday here in Redding. It was phenomenal. I was just stunned. I don't know how I still function and take pictures and video, but it's so pervasive. It's so in your face, and it's just amazing how many people will just, like you say, be in the Costco parking lot, and they're not all just on top of their hoods and cars just going, what the hey?
Everything is awesome. Yeah. Listen,
I would just like to know how it changes. You know, I just traveled over 6,000 miles in some states. You don't hardly see those lines at all, and then I come back to California and wake up to this painting in the sky.
Isn't that the chemical sunrise that we?
Yeah.
Yeah, the chemical sunrise.
Yeah, that's our medication.
Anyway,
stuff like that.
All right,
we appreciate your call, Lori.
Yeah, and I believe we have somebody else on the line. We have Molly from Redding. Good morning, Molly. How are you, Molly?
Hello.
Hello, Molly.
Are you there, Molly? We must have lost Molly.
Yeah, you know, you guys, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. Very good. You're on the air, Molly.
Mark, you came up with a terrific plan. You said wait in line for your newspaper, wait in line for your toilet paper. You know, back in the 70s, we already determined that you could have rolls of toilet paper with information written on them. I mean, it was a joke at the time, but I guess, it was a future calling. But anyway, thank you for your show. Linda, welcome back.
Thank you. Right, I appreciate it.
There you go. American Ingenuity already coming up with solutions for the collapse.
That's the answer. That is the answer, is liberty, freedom, knowing where the threat's coming from, and knowing that you have to start a process of self-reliance. That's the real answer. And, you know, we're not going to be taken care of anymore. I'm looking at a pamphlet here, Understanding Law Enforcement Intelligence Process, a report to the Office of University Programs Science and Technology Doctorate, U.S. Department of Homeland Security, dated July 2014. And in that, it lists the threats to what they're giving to law enforcement is who the threats are. And, you know, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, it has the graphs in there, and I'm looking right at it. Table 2, perceived threat of extremist group of extremist groups by type of group. Okay, and this was updated in 2014, and the one at the top of the list is sovereign citizens. They are the biggest threat right now, according to the Homeland Security. Okay? Next would be Islamic extremists. So,
really?
In other words,
we're above them.
We're a bigger threat than the freaking Islamic Muslim extremist. Really? The people who want liberty. Okay. You know who's next? Number three in the top ten? Militia and patriots. Militia and patriots. Right above racist skinheads. So in the top four or five, the next one's neo-Nazis. So in the top five, we've got sovereign citizens lumped in with the Islamic jihadists and racist skinheads and neo-Nazis. Are you kidding me? And all of you left-wing animal rights lovers ought to know that you're next. Extreme animal rights, rightist, I guess is how they pronounce it. So I don't know if that's a word. Rightists?
Rightist?
Yeah. And then next is extreme environmentalist. And right below that, you guys are left in with the Ku Klux Klan. So that's the top ten. Sovereign citizens, Islamic jihadists, military patriots, militia and patriots, racist skinheads, neo-Nazis, extreme animal rightists, extreme environmentalists, and the Ku Klux Klan. And below that is left-wing revolutionaries. Okay, so
who's left out?
So the communists are at the bottom of the list.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we get to sit in there with a bunch of bigoted fascists.
Yeah. And after that,
and
we
then
got,
there's a problem?
Yeah, we got and if you're an extreme anti-abortionist,
I don't think you understand my personal despair for Nazis and skinheads.
Oh. No.
There you have it.
There's a story there, but I don't use this word often, but I hate those people.
I like the next one is extreme anti-tax. Okay, so I guess George Washington and those guys and company, you know, they would all be lumped under the threat because they were extreme anti-tax guys. I mean, like Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, Samuel Adams. Those guys are extremists because they believe that you are free and should keep your own freaking money.
So if you're
and the Minutemen that were the militia.
Yeah. So if you're a true American, boy, you hit a lot of those numbers, a lot of those groups, right?
I'm pretty much comprising everything on the right side here. Anti-immigration, extreme anti-immigration. Everything's extreme. You know, well, I'm not anti-immigration. I'm anti-illegal immigration. I'm anti-non-assimilation of people who don't give a crap about the American people or their rights or responsibilities. The next one is Christian identity. So all you Christians laying out there waiting for God to come save you, you're on the list too. And guess what? God's probably not going to save you because you won't save yourself.
Yeah.
Just saying. I'm not sure what idiosyncratic sectarians are. I'm not even sure who they are.
I'm sure we probably fall in that category,
maybe.
Too.
Actually, you could categorize about anything or any political agenda as an idiosyncratic sectarian.
That's
everything. A Raiders fan could be an idiosyncratic
I think
sectarian.
we need a clampdown on those tailgate parties down at Oakland Coliseum. Okay, I'm telling you, those guys are out of control. I've been there. I've seen it for myself.
Are they extremists?
They are extremists.
They are.
They are extremists.
Yes, we are.
If you're wearing a Bronco uniform or a Kansas City uniform, you're in deep trouble in the parking lot.
Yeah, you better not come through the Raider Nation, which makes me an idiosyncratic sectarian.
And if you're
that's the way it's in the 49er parking lot, too. Can't do the Broncos and stuff, sorry.
Well, you know, then if you're drunk on top of that, you're probably going to end up like one of those clowns that you bounce off the ground.
Well, there's been a few of those probably in the parking lot,
Kids throwing M&Ms at you, Cokes, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I've seen it. I've been there. I've done it. I mean, I've shot.
Now the truth comes out.
Yes, no. I have never been at the Oakland Coliseum and seen a gin bottle or a D-sized battery come out of the crowd.
Never. No, just into the crowd from your direction.
The next one is millennial doomsday cults. I'm not sure exactly what that
means. Don't they kind of take care of themselves, hence the term doomsday cult?
Yeah, they're kind of being left, leave me alone, I just want to hide from the world, and, you know, I want to be self-reliant. What does that mean? A doomsday cult. I guess if you're from the Bohemian Grove or a Satan worshiper, that doesn't include you because, you know, I mean, why, what? You know, I mean, the next one and the last one is reconstructed traditions. What is that? Reconstructed traditions.
See, I wouldn't fall into that category because I would still argue that our traditions haven't been fully deconstructed yet.
So does that mean government?
Well, I would imagine reconstructed traditions is talking about, you know, going back to moral fabric, following constitutional law, things like that.
I believe that everybody should pick up this pamphlet and Google it if you would like to understand law enforcement intelligence processes from the Homeland Security Department of Homeland Security dated July 2014.
You but get they don't have any agenda for us.
No.
I'm just excited. I've always wanted to be thought of enough to be on someone's list.
Yeah.
With the word extremist after your name.
Why not?
Yeah. I mean,
you know, but yeah. You're okay if you're an anti-prepper, you see, because then you'll be just fine.
It's like a Mountain Dew commercial. Patriot. Extreme.
Yeah.
You ever watch those Mountain Dew commercials?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, it's like, what? You know, and then what does the can fly out and you're in a snowstorm or something, you know, pretty soon. Okay, we got 2 minutes to the top of the hour. I think I'm going to hit one of the other anti-prepping skills that you should acquire. Number two, looting retail establishments for desperate supplies. After you're standing in line, you'll discover that the government isn't really preparing you to prepared to help you. Then you'll resort to looting retail establishments, joining with all the other looters who have arrived at the same conclusion. Unfortunately, only the very first looters get the loot, and the very first looters are going to be more the streetwise people, you know, gangs, hoodlums, etc., who are technically far more informed about how quickly society can collapse because they're usually armed and they're not very nice or friendly. And you know what the old saying is for looters, right? Back in the day when you actually would try to protect people and their property from looters is you shoot looters. So that's another skill that you need to acquire. How to tell the difference between looting geniuses and looting morons. Okay, this is a tip. All right. The geniuses are the ones taking the medical supplies. The morons are the ones stealing the big TV screens.
Yeah. Right.
And the shoes.
And the shoes.
I got 40 pairs of Jordans here.
That's right. I got Jordans, man. And
Airwalk Jordans.
That's right. Yeah. Unless you start looting immediately, it'll be too late for anything of value. While everyone else will have looted the real items of real value, like coffee, tampons, bottled water, and ammunition, you'll be stuck with a store full of holiday gift cards, portable MP3 players, and useless iPhones. With that, I think we should go to a break.
Well, we're at the top of the hour, so we're going to get cut off, and we'll continue this on the other side. Again, if you want to call in and give us your comments or have questions for us, the number here is 530-605-4567, KCNR 1460.
KCNR Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Another wave of refugees from the Middle East is surging into Germany today. This man says he came to escape violence in Syria.
You can't live there just because of bombing and less of water, electricity and everything. You don't have anything.
Everything is bad.
Everything is lost. There is nothing. Government didn't give us anything.
We lost ourselves.
Just bombs.
Hungary is now permitting migrants to use normal train services to move closer to Western Europe through its western border, abandoning visa checks that it had been using. Ahead of the next GOP presidential debate, Donald Trump is getting in a fight with another conservative moderator.
After having trouble with some foreign policy questions last week, Donald Trump accused Salem radio talk show host Hugh Hewitt of asking gotcha questions, and Trump later slammed him as a third-rate announcer. As it turns out, Hewitt is one of the questioners in the next GOP debate. The tense interaction with Hewitt could set up a sort of sequel to the first debate. In August, Trump squabbled with Fox News host Megyn Kelly, whom he has repeatedly accused of asking unfair questions of him. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Elsewhere, Harvard Law Professor Lawrence Lessig says his presidential exploratory committee has reached the $1 million benchmark he said would trigger a formal White House bid. The Democrat announcing his fundraising total in an interview this morning with ABC TV's This Week program. Lessig says he'll run to address campaign finance reform, voting rights issues, and what he calls political gerrymandering. The Coast Guard is searching for a missing boater off California's Catalina Island after two vessels collided, killing one person and injuring three others. The Coast Guard says the collision occurred early this morning when a dinghy carrying five collided with another boat. The three injured were airlifted to an area hospital. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Now through Labor Day Monday is your last chance to discover for free untold stories, secrets, and details about your ancestors that you never knew. Ancestry has just released an entirely new category of content never before available online in the U.S., exclusive to Ancestry. It's an unprecedented collection of U.S. wills and probate records from all 50 states that span 200 years. It gives never before possible insight into your ancestors' lives, loves, land, and possessions. And now through Monday, we're allowing the public free, unlimited access. Visit TryAncestry.com before this free access is over. Only Ancestry can bring you this remarkable collection of wills and probate records. Plus, our popular birth, marriage, and death records are also open to search for free, too. Hurry, this is your last chance for free access because this amazing collection will only be open through Monday. Visit TryAncestry.com. TryAncestry.com. That's TryAncestry.com.
The judges found that the challengers of Arizona's landmark immigration law failed to show that police would enforce the statute differently for Latinos than it would for people of other ethnicities. This ruling could signal the end of the case. It gives a victory to backers of the law. In her ruling, U.S. District Court Judge Susan Bolton dismissed the challenge and upheld provisions previously ruled on by appeals courts. She upheld the law's controversial requirement that police, while enforcing other laws, can question the immigration status of those suspected of being in the country illegally. It's unclear whether the challengers will appeal this ruling. Airstrikes from a Saudi-led coalition destroyed a key rebel encampment in Yemen's capital today, rocking downtown with blasts that also hit a school, restaurants, and embassies. The strikes wounded 17 people, including schoolchildren, taking final exams. The Saudi and Emirati embassies were also damaged. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. A Latvian computer code writer who helped create a virus that spread to more than a million computers may be going home after pleading guilty in federal court in New York.
The soft-spoken Denis Kalovskis pleaded guilty to conspiring to commit computer intrusion. The 30-year-old hacker faces a likely prison term between 18 months and 2 years, according to the terms of a plea agreement with the U.S. government. Kalovskis admits he was hired to write code for the Gozi virus. He says he knew what he was doing was wrong. Prosecutors say the virus infected 40,000 U.S. computers from 2005 to 2012, including 190 at the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. Sentencing is set for December 14th. Keith Peters reporting.
Today is Sunday, September 6th, a birthday for some prominent people, including comedian Joanne Worley. She's 80 years old. Actor and comedian Jeff Foxworthy is 57 today. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to
fight. We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up. Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising 'cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
We're back. Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Community Radio for the North State. I got used to saying that when my sister wasn't here. So I'm not sure we need
but
her.
But I'm back.
Oh, she's back. Oh, crap.
Watch out. She's back.
She is back. I feel like Poltergeist there for a second.
Yeah.
It's like.
Careful, you'll be labeled as one of those doomsday cultists.
I know. I mean, right. Just, you know.
Before we go on, we need to announce that there is no meeting at the Tea Party tomorrow night.
Yeah, no meeting tomorrow night. It is Labor Day tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. How'd that happen?
Yeah, I don't know.
It just
wasn't this just Christmas a while ago?
September. Yeah. That's what happens every year.
Yeah, it's almost there again. So,
getting back to our tips that we need to understand if you're, you know, our anti-preppers, preparedness skills that people out there need to understand that these are going to be the skills that need to be acquired. Number three is unintentional fasting, you know, a.k.a.
Starving,
yeah. If you're not used to going without food and you refuse to store any, you may want to practice fasting. Just to be clear on the definitions, fasting is a term used to describe unintentional starvation. Starvation is a term used to describe unintentional fasting.
otherwise.
Anti-preppers. You got something, Bob?
That means you get to skip a meal whether you want to or not.
Anti-preppers need to become familiar with starvation ahead of time so that it's not just a shock to their system when the starvation begins. As an easy way to practice this is just to stop eating for a few days at a time and see what happens. Drink water. Obviously, you'll die and be turned into a human jerky you see below.
No.
You'll find that...
Oh, this hour is going downhill.
If you find that you don't like starvation and don't wish to participate in practicing it, then you may wish to store some damn food so that you don't have to starve when things go wrong in society. Just as a precaution, maybe. Skill number four, and we laughed about this through the break, but, you know, it's really morbid and stuff, but you know, it's kind of funny, too. Making human jerky with a solar food
dehydrator. No, there's nothing funny about it.
Well, I mean, cannibalism is a last-ditch food storage strategy for the chronically unprepared.
Gives
well,
new meaning to snap into a Slim Jim.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a package here. I got it. It's Cannibal brand. It tastes like you. Fresh lock bag. Resealable human jerky sticks. 100% real meat.
GMO-free.
GMO-free. 99% cage-free. And so, you know...
Free-range human.
Yeah, and so, you know, you might want to think about that as an alternative to being unprepared and going to the store and buy some extra food.
Now, what is the environmental impact of storing a human and how many per acre and not have too big of a carbon footprint?
Well, this is all eco-friendly, you understand, because you'll be using solar power to make the human jerky, you know.
You're offsetting the carbon.
You're offsetting the carbon footprint with a solar-friendly, you know, type stuff. You know, once this is all in place, you know, fortunately, thanks to Planned Parenthood, you won't have to actually think of this as human flesh. Instead of, you can think of it as yourself as tissue samples that seemingly have nothing to do with living, breathing human beings. And because most anti-preppers are so strong advocates of mass abortions, they already have the psychological skills to lie to themselves about what a living versus dead is in the first place. So just, anyway, we'll move right along.
Yeah, let's keep going here.
Can I pass those jerky with have that with a nice chianti and some fava beans?
Stop.
Never mind.
That is so wrong.
Skill number five, playing the victim and blaming someone else for your stupidity. Okay? When things go wrong, you'll find yourself totally unprepared. It's crucial to blame somebody else, so that way you can maintain your respectability and your psychology. You know, this is a skill set already possessed by the Obama supporters, leftists, and other ideological victimology experts who think nothing is ever their fault, essentially every professor at a liberal arts university. When the stuff hits the fan and you have no food, no water, no internet, no silver coins, no cash, no medicine, and no idea what just happened, the obvious answer is to blame the Tea Party. Okay.
Why? Sure.
If you can't blame the Tea Party, find some white person to blame somewhere, preferably heterosexual macho males who own guns. It's got to be their fault, right? They own guns for crying out loud. They act like men. That's just got to be wrong at some level, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Number six. Begging the government to save you. Never underestimate the power of begging. It's a vital skill for anti-preppers to master for all the obvious reasons. Not only do they have to beg the government for critical supplies, they'll also have to beg those who prepared to share some supplies with them because they've neglected to store supplies themselves. Yeah, they're actually, you know, they're incredibly short-sighted and selfish, failing to do their part for self-reliance. You know, when the stuff hits the fan, here's how the conversation should go between an anti-prepper and a real prepper, you know, and I kind of alluded to that earlier about storing food in the pool and, you know, maybe you should eat your pool and eat the pool liner. Because you spend all your money on we spend all our money on storable food for our families instead of a swimming pool. You now think that you own a portion of my investment in the preparedness food. You know, no. And then, you know, the next thing is, come on, I'm starving. Well, then eat the grass on your front lawn. It actually is good for you unless you sprayed it with herbicides. So, you know, not real funny. But, you know, it does drive a point home.
Yeah.
You know, what's the truth here? You know, so you know, you're going to get this stuff if this thing happens because, all right, you know, these guys didn't want to do this. They didn't want to, you know, they didn't want to prepare. They didn't want to. Well, there's consequences, isn't there? Just like there's consequences in elections, there's consequences to not preparing for a financial catastrophe or any other, you know, catastrophe that could possibly happen in the United States or the world, right? In other words, we should just all be dumb at sheep. Sorry, almost slipped there.
Almost.
And depend on the government to take care of us for everything, right? That's the answer? No.
No.
Okay. Skill number 7, bartering family heirlooms for meals. That's going to be a very good skill. You know, you want to be well-versed in negotiation. You know, when you realize you don't have food, water, and medicine, you can always start bartering the family heirlooms. Gold and silver always have value. And if you still somehow kept your hands on Grandpa's old ranch rifle, that's probably be worth more than gold at this point. One important strategy for anti-preparers is to realize that since you're probably an unethical, selfish, stupid person to begin with, you can start bartering your family jewelry even while they're still alive. So who says Granny needs to pass away before you trade her gold necklace for a meal, right? Just tell Granny it's for a good cause, you know, and she could probably, you know, leave that alone. Here's skill number 8, dodging bullets from armed gangbangers. Dodging bullets is always a useful skill when you're too stupid to own a gun and stock your own supplies in advance of a collapse. Instead of safely eating your own food, you'll enjoy the fun of trying to trade loot or steal from others. And as it turns out, most of them are armed. This is why it's important to understand understand gun physics as explained in the Hollywood movies. Hiding behind corners won't protect you because skilled shooters can put a spin on bullets by curving their arms as they fire the bullets, just like putting English on a ping pong ball. This was proven in the movie Wanted, which explains the real physics of curving bullets in this scientifically accurate must-see movie clip. And I suggest you go to Natural News and look at the clip. To dodge these curving bullets, you need to learn how to run the way moths fly. They are basically chaos patterns that deter predators. To achieve these, study moths for many hours until their movements become ingrained in your brain. Then practice walking on busy sidewalks in New York City using the same movements. You may notice that other people have already begun to practice this important skill using vehicles on various roads and highways, mostly around Los Angeles. Okay. Skill number 9, hiding valuable objects in your rectum. Don't laugh. This is a very important skill for anti-preppers to master for the simple reason that you'll need to covertly move objects in and out of secure areas as part of your effort to acquire and barter life-saving supplies.
Hey, everybody loves the Keister Bunny. Keister Bunny. Never heard that before?
No.
Oh, that's a jail joke. Everybody loves the Keister Bunny.
As an anti-prepper, you are all but defenseless against being mugged or robbed because you probably don't own a gun and you think guns are bad. If guns are bad, then consider the fun of walking 5 miles with a bottle of prescription medicine, cash it in your butt, and repeating the trip several times and hoping the bottle doesn't break in mid-stride. At some point, you will come to realize the value of high-density precious metals like gold. Gold has the advantage of carrying high value in a small physical place. In a collapsed society where hyperinflated cash is worthless, the banks are all on holiday, the ability to carry a few gold coins in a place where muggers, TSA agents, and government goons are unlikely to find makes instant sense. To practice the skill of catching gold in your rectum, start with dimes and pennies and then move up to nickels and quarters. White House! And finally, the Susan B. Anthony dollar. From there, you'll be ready to stash some real gold bullion. Of course, you could always decide to avoid all this just by buying some gold and silver right now, along with a firearm to protect it. But anti-preppers don't want to be bothered with such ideas, especially when anti-prepping skills for the chronically unprepared are so much fun to practice with friends. As a, you know, it's just like a magic trick with your drinking buddies.
That is so wrong.
Chew up and swallow a dollar bill and crap out the exact change. It's amazing. They'll be amazed.
Hold on, Robert.
Sorry. Like I've told people before, my brain is like an arcade, so I'm getting a ton of visuals right now.
Okay.
And it's hilarious.
Skill number 10, and this is the last one. You know, I don't know. Can we say BJ's?
No, it's not.
Okay. It says giving BJs and selling your body for food.
Oral stimulation.
There. Although you may want to think the subject is crude and shouldn't be discussed.
Bill Clinton.
It's a bizarre fact that the global economy, you know, of the global economy, that they those are a universal service barter item. If you don't believe me, just ask anyone who's been in federal prison or an active war zone or the Hollywood movie industry. It's a skill that's going to be important for non-preppers because it's a last-ditch barter item that's portable and can't be stolen from you. Be sure to stock up on some chapstick.
Oh, geez.
To smooth your lips and prevent all the... Okay, I'm not going to go there. Prepping is hard work. It's even harder when trying to prepare after the collapse when food is worth a fortune and there's a surplus of starving people willing to trade their body for supplies.
I know nothing. Nothing.
Note to the queasy. If you don't want to trade your food, your body for food, then store some damn food already. Okay. You won't have to learn to earn it the hard way. Conclusion.
The hard way.
Prepping skills are easy to learn, are much easier to learn than anti-prepping skills. In all seriousness, I hope this outrageous satirical article has made an important point. It's way easier to acquire prepping supplies and skills before it hits the fan than to have to earn, steal, or barter for such supplies the hard way. It turns out that preparedness skills are far easier to practice than unpreparedness skills. As a prepper, you and I are both probably really good at things, you know, like knowing how to sanitize and, you know, filter polluted water sources, how to disassemble firearms, and how to raise your own food. Simultaneously, we are both probably really bad at looting stores, hiding things in our rectum, and giving BJs for barter. Or, at least I hope you're not good at all of those things. Anyway. The choice is yours. You can either become an expert in preparedness skills, or you can learn unpreparedness skills during an emergency. Trust me when I say that you're better off if you prepare the easy way, not the hard way. Either get off your ass right now, in other words, or learn how to use it for smuggling contraband someday. Okay? So we're going to go into this stuff more next week on preparedness. But I thought this was a great article to illustrate a point to all you people that are going, oh, poo-poo, you know, oh, you know, I don't need to prep, you know, it's not going to, you know.
Yeah, we'll be okay.
Yeah. See you on the other side. Anyway,
all right.
Let's go to a break.
Okay. Again, if you want to call in and you have a question or a comment for us, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
And it's a long day living in Reseda. There's a freeway running through the yard. And I'm a bad boy, 'cause I don't even miss her. I'm a bad boy for breaking her heart.
Tensions are high and anticipation is building for the 26th annual Ducky Derby presented by Ready Nice Rotary. In fact, some ducks are already out there training. Adopt your duck for $5 and get in on the race for youth development and substance abuse prevention. Everyone wins and you could be the winner of a 16-sleeper houseboat vacation from Shasta Marina.
We've got to be ready for September 27th at 1:30 for the big golf.
Plus, second prize is a San Francisco Giants weekend courtesy of InterWest Insurance.
See you there September 27th at 1:30 p.m.
Holiday Harbor, we've got it all for you. But we're more than just great houseboats.
We have the vacation you have been looking for without the drive or airport hassle. Fishing boats, patio boats, 47-foot party cruisers, wakeboards, jet skis, and stand-up paddle boards. If it floats or you can pull it behind a boat, we probably have it for your enjoyment. Visit Holiday Harbor, exit 695 of Interstate 5, or go to LakeShasta.com. Holiday Harbor, your own vacation in town.
What do you get when you add Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin to an amazing lineup of guests on KCNR 1460 AM?
You get We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Join us anytime online at wethepeopleradio.us.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream soundbites to bring you the entire story on politics, veterans affairs, land use, and private property rights. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us, where we've always got environmental craziness, Agenda 21, Common Core, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
It's the most fun you can have while your blood pressure's going through the roof.
This Sunday, we welcome Jake McCauley, the CEO of the Institute on the Constitution, an educational outreach that presents the founders' American view of law and government. The IOTC produces graduates who have a full understanding of the biblical principles on which America's founding documents are based. Also joining us will be Pastor Guy Asherman of Redding Christian Fellowship. We the People, Sundays noon to 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Do you love brain teasers, interactive puzzles, and mind-bending challenges? Then you won't want to miss Turtle Bay's summer exhibition, Mindbender Mansion. Starting May 23rd, test your brain power by solving puzzles to reveal hidden clues and passwords in order to become a member of the Mindbender Society. Mindbender Mansion was created by the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry and is presented by Shasta Regional Medical Center and U.S. Bank. For park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Nate Abarea back here with Dr. Sam Carino of the Shasta Spine Specialists. Doc, tell us about this new system, the DRX-9000, and what it can do to improve your health and your life.
The DRX-9000 is the only true non-surgical spinal decompression system. The DRX-9000 can effectively treat common and debilitating back pain, neck pain, stenosis, and sciatica. Too many people are having back surgery when the technology for non-surgical disc repair is right here in Reading.
So when you compare back surgery to non-surgical spinal decompression, like the DRX-9000, what are some of the main differences?
Non-surgical spinal decompression is safer, more effective, more financially reasonable, and much less invasive, with no side effects or dependence on harmful prescription drugs. We want the people of Shasta County to improve their health and become stronger in their bodies. Our all-inclusive care program includes physiotherapies, nutrition, exercise, decompression, and chiropractic care.
Give Shasta Spine Specialists a call at 243-2300, 243-2300, or check them out online, shastaspine.com.
That's me. Marty Stewart does it all. Turn me on. Honky tonk, rockabilly, bluegrass, and straight up country. It's Marty Stewart, and he's coming to the Cascade Theater Friday, September 18th. Don't miss 5-time Grammy winner Marty Stewart in Reading, September 18th at the Cascade. Get tickets today at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit soj51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Something, there's one of the answers too. You better start having some faith. You better start, maybe having a little spirituality in your life. You might think about, you know, going to church. Just saying.
Think about something else besides yourself.
Yeah, I think having a little faith right now might be a whole lot of good stuff.
Find yourself a decent pastor.
There you have it. Yeah. So let's. My sister went to Arlington, you know.
Yes, and, I did.
We haven't had a chance to talk about it because the show kind of ran away with us today a little bit.
Yeah, it was
but,
a little different.
Yeah, she went to Arlington with the MIAP. I know I said it wrong the last time I said MAIP, but it's the Missing in America Project.
Missing in America Project, yeah.
Okay, and she did the ride. I don't know who she rode behind. Did she ride behind Dave on the big long rider?
I rode behind Mikey, which is a 101st Airborne Ranger, which was a great ride on a trike, Honda Goldwing.
101, hoorah.
Yeah.
Yeah, airborne, sir.
Yeah. And the second ride was George out of L.A. I rode with him for about 500 miles, and then we brought it in with the long rider to Arlington.
Wow, very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. You know, we want to, you know, congratulate you on taking the ride, and you know, I know you had a great time, and I know that was a great trip for you. And
it was. If nobody's done a trip like that, I mean, we had one thing in common, and we were all on a mission, and we were going to make that mission happen no matter what, to take those six veterans back and intern them in Arlington, and we accomplished that.
Yep.
And I want to say thank you to everybody that helped me with that had faith in me to do it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool stuff. That's pretty cool stuff, I got to say. You know, and any time you can spend a little time in Washington, D.C., and you can see the breadth, the depth and breadth of Washington, D.C., how big it is, how magnificent it is, what the Founding Fathers put together, and how it also gives you the perception of how out of control they are as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I didn't have any idea. I've never been to Washington, never been to any place like that in my life. When I walked up to the Lincoln Memorial, for example, the statue and stuff.
You don't realize the magnitude of everything until you get close to it. Yeah,
it was pretty breathtaking for me to do that. It was quite the experience to go to all the different memorials. The Korean War, I have to say, was one of the most touching. If you've never seen it, you should do it. The statues, and I know it sounds funny, but the statues, they talk to you. It's pretty...
pretty amazing.
It is. And then we were able to, you know, watch the changing of the guards at the Unknown Tomb.
Yeah, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier.
And that was, you have to, if you've never seen anything like that, you just don't understand it. Just like Arlington. You see pictures of stuff like that, and you know that there's a lot of people, men and women, that are buried there. But when you go through those gates, let me tell you, it'll hit you in the heart. I'm almost going to cry now.
I bet. Well, there you have it.
Yeah.
So.
Really brings it home what's been given for what we have here in this country, what they're trying to take away from us, and what that was worth.
Yeah, it'll change your definition of freedom.
Blood and treasure.
Yeah. You think you know what freedom is when you look out there and all you see is those white headstones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The people that gave everything, that gave it all. You know, we're worried about, you know, surviving and, you know, right now in a monetary system, or surviving big government intervention, overreach into our lives. And, you know, but it's been the same since the beginning of time with big government. There's always been people that are willing to stand up for freedom and die for it.
Yep.
And you have to ask yourself the question, why would they be willing to, is it that precious that they would be willing to give it all to save themselves? No. Save their posterity. To save their children, to save their grandchildren from overreaching tyrannical government. It's always been government that has taken your property, taxed you into servitude. You know, think about it for a second. It's been government all along that's been our worst enemy. And that's why we put chains of a constitution to have limited government, so that we could preserve our liberty. These guys, it's human nature to do this in the government. When you get there, it changes you. Somehow you think you're superior. You think that everybody should pay more. I mean, it's just the nature of government. That's why as soon as we quit following the pattern, which was freedom, free enterprise capitalism and no central banks. You know, I mean, look at the Communist Manifesto. Google the ten platforms of the Communist Manifesto sometime and see which, and then look at the Constitution and put them side by side in front of the TV so you can't see the damn TV anymore. And read them both and tell me which one we're following right now. We're not following the Constitution.
No, we're not nowhere near the Constitution.
No.
And we need to get back to that.
Ask yourself, is communism worth dying for? I don't think you'd find a lot of people that would say yes, that we're in a communist system. I mean, that's even during World War II while they were being invaded. The communists had to put people behind their own soldiers to make them go fight or they'd shoot them themselves.
Well, communists kill people for communists.
Do. And that's, you know, I know the impact that someplace like Igo Ono has on me. That's I can't even imagine what Arlington would be like. Presence there.
You know, you tell yourself, no, it's just another cemetery. You know, I understand people gave their lives, but yeah, when you go through those gates and it's, you know, everybody has a lot of respect going through there. You can't fly any flags. Us writers had to have helmets and gloves on. Yeah. All flags have to be covered. And everybody has respect for it. It brings a new light to stuff, I'll tell you, because you just see hill after hill, like I say, of the white headstones, and you think, man, there's something like, I believe, 480,000 in there at the moment.
Wow.
Put that in perspective.
That's just one cemetery.
Yeah, that's just Arlington.
Of many.
Of many.
Of many.
And yeah. Here are these people that were willing to pay the ultimate price for what we have, and we have a government that is openly stealing what they died for from us, and most people's response is, even those that are waking up to it now, is when is somebody else going to do something about this?
Well, and then you got these incompetent bastards up there in Washington making deals with Iran on nuclear things. They don't even know the deals, you know, and they're putting us all in jeopardy, our national security at risk, and they're why? What is Lurch thinking?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway,
before we get to the caller, I want to say one thing. You know, there was a lot of different people that went with us and joined up with us. Didn't matter whether it was white, black, yellow. Color never became a factor. There was no racism. There was none of that.
No, that's
after the truth.
That's the politics.
We were on the mission, and we knew what we had to do.
That's the politics. It's always about dividing and conquering. They divide everybody. They divide the blacks and the whites, the gays and the straights, the left and the right, the Republicans and the Democrats. Yeah. It's all about division. It's all the politics. I mean, here you have a president that could have united everybody.
Yep.
And what did he do? He divided to divide and conquer so that the government would gain more power and sink the country through their insane economic policies.
So when Billy Bob called earlier and said, you know, we should just give up. No, there's always hope. There's always hope because there is people out there like that. Because if we get our mission clear to us, what it is for us to do for this country, everything else will fall apart.
And you know something? The next generation is coming up. And they will be reckoned with, I guarantee you. It's like waking a sleeping giant, like Tojo from Japan said after they bombed Pearl Harbor. You know, they thought they'd won the war, they'd crippled us so bad. And basically he said, no, I think we've awoken the sleeping giant.
Yeah.
And that's going to happen. The sleeping giant is starting to awake, and it's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have a caller on the line.
We have David from San Francisco. Good morning, David.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, it's we got a nice, comfortable day down here. And, you know, I got to agree and disagree with some of what you were just talking about. And, by the way, as you were talking about Arlington, I'd got to toss in my – I had two uncles that we'd want to memorialize this tomorrow, Master Sergeant Patrick Grace and Colonel John Sturgis. And unfortunately, they both blew their own brains out because they had seen so much in war that it just tore them up. And
unfortunately.
Yeah, when you read, so I'm a big fan of that book, Catch 22. And, you know, if you watch the movie, you get some sense of what's going on. But if you read the book.
I have read the book. It is intense, absolutely.
Yeah, the whole idea that there was a black market running that war. And it was an organized crime corporation that had Germans and Italians and French and British and American investors, and they would intentionally lose battles just so that the black market would profiteer.
Well, that's fascism. I mean, that's really the definition of it, and that's what we have right now, is we have a fascist government. It's not, government is not the answer, but neither is the big corporations that are working the system through their cronyism.
Well, and that's where, I agree and disagree, because, you know, we also had, on the Sturgis side, John Hart was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. So we were always led to believe that the aristocrats of 1776 never stopped attacking us. They have kept it up every day of, these last, 2.25 centuries. And this whole idea that these guys have created financial, the savings and loans, anything that has to do with Goldman Sachs is going to be British, and this aristocratic looting of America. And so pitting us against each other, absolutely that's been going on, and they've been doing it through these little schemes. You know, divide and conquer schemes are easy to do, but when you start doing people's credit ratings, that's also a divide and conquer scheme, and it's almost a master race kind of.
Who
decides your interest rates?
That's the big bankers, the LIBOR rates out of London. You know, lender.
That's where I'm going. Yeah,
absolutely. That they have been our worst enemies since the beginning of time, is the bankers, using the government as a tool, and so that's what we've got right now. And the Ponzi scheme is absolutely massive. You know, they're looting the Treasury and making us responsible for all the looting. You know, all the bailouts, all the bail-ins that are going to be coming.
Yeah, we're the collateral for their theft.
Absolutely, right. No question about it.
Well,
go ahead.
If you track it back, I don't know how familiar you are with the 30 Years' War in the early 1600s around the Protestant Reformation and the wars in Northern Europe, especially through Germany and the areas that went on between the Catholics and the Protestants. And mainly it was the Habsburg Empire with the Austrians and the Spanish and controlling the Pope in Rome, who the banker was for the Catholic Church that was funding that war at the time was the Rothschilds. It's where they got their start.
You know, it's funny. Have you noticed Dick Cheney is in partnership with Jacob Rothschild right now for part of the Golan Heights? Did you notice that?
I haven't seen that one, but I wouldn't be surprised a bit.
Yeah, look up, just do a quick Google search of Dick Cheney, Golan Heights, and then you'll get a bunch of news stories about the Israelis sold the mineral rights or the oil drilling rights to Dick Cheney in the Golan Heights. And he's got something like, 152 square miles? If I remember right, it's like three quarters of the Golan Heights. Jacob Rothschild, though, is his business partner.
Well, it's the establishment on both sides of the aisle, whether you're talking about Bill and Hillary or Obama or Dick Cheney and the Bushes. Take your pick. I don't really care, because they're all in bed with this stuff, if you ask me. If you start tracing the lineages, you start tracing the connections. If there was actually some investigative reporting out there, we would see that it's the establishment that's the problem in the government, not the Republicans or the Democrats.
You remember Rose Law Firm?
Oh, yeah.
I think they had British ties, too, didn't they?
Oh, Bill Clinton graduated from Oxford.
Right, and
Rhodes Scholar.
Yeah, exactly. Rhodes, if you look at his writings, he was very much into, British conquest.
Absolutely.
What was the other thing, too? There was another tie. The De Beers, right? And so De Beers,
the
Arkansas,
diamonds.
Is filled with diamonds.
Yeah, the diamonds out of South Africa, absolutely.
Yeah, so I think the Rose Law Firm with the De Beers law firm.
Well, and how many people died? Vince Foster, there's a whole list of people that just happened to have mysterious deaths around those guys back in the day, and they're doing insider trading. She needs to go to prison. In fact, all of them need to go to prison as far as I'm concerned with what's happened. And but I think she's got some real trouble with her emails here, and I think she might be charged with something or indicted. And so I think she's got a problem on the way to the election.
She's going to slither away.
We'll see.
Yeah, well, I'm a kind of a Ralph Nader supporter to begin with, but I was just going to add, the LIBOR is how the interest rates of the world are set, right?
Right.
And so whether you're buying a house or a boat or your town is buying a sewer bond issue, the LIBOR was supposed to be the market force's way of setting interest rates.
Right, but
remember, during Jimmy Carter, it was very regulated, And under Carter, the interest rates went insane. He did nothing to stop it. And Ronald Reagan comes in after Carter and says, "I can do a market forces way of dealing with interest rates."
Well, he set up the pledge protection team as well. So I'm not a huge fan of Reagan either. They all do stuff that's good for their pandering, you know, because if they did nothing for their constituents or their base, they wouldn't have anybody voting for them. But you're right, and the bankers all just pled guilty recently, within the last couple of months, to rigging LIBOR, you know, and huge fines on HSBC. I have, you know, an update here on HSBC that I alluded to earlier, that they have a systems failure that, you know, basically they, on Friday, 275,000 individual payments failed to go through on Friday, leaving potentially hundreds of thousands of people without their pay on Friday before the bank holiday weekend. So,
where was this?
This is HSBC. Go ahead and Google it.
Okay, good.
See, so it's starting to fall apart, this whole manipulation of the free market.
Well, that's one of the things I think David's trying to hammer at is the Anglo control of the central banking system and things like that. And I was going to ask the question is, do you know what really started the Revolutionary War?
Well, I mean, you could say the South Sea Island bubble of 100 years before.
The taxes that were placed on America basically to bail out the East India Company, which was too big to fail.
Exactly, yeah. And so that whole, I mean, this thing's been going on with the same scam for centuries.
For centuries, yeah. Absolutely, no question about
it. And the more that's kind of where I was going with this LIBOR solution, is we have to figure out ways of setting our own reputation.
Well,
in other words, the money is supposed to represent your time, your amount of effort into a project.
Well, right? That's why you can't have paper money. It has to be backed by something. Because
it has to have value.
It has to have real value somewhere along the line. I've got some facts here on money that I was going to go over, too, as far as coinage and stuff. But it has to be set by a free market mechanism of some sort. And as long as you've got people controlling the paper and now the high-speed frequency trading and the algorithms, you know, you can't have that. But it also is turning the market upside down. That's why we're in for such a huge collapse, because it's been manipulated for so long that it's ready to pop. The whole thing's just a big bubble.
Well, if you look at it, what's been going on is that there's no local control of the original transaction.
Right.
So somebody fixes somebody's porch, and that transaction's completed. Both sides are happy with it, but then some guy's got to get some interest on that note, and some guy's got to have some, you know, there's layers of bureaucracy that take part in that whole transaction. And so when you get into currency exchanges and like you're saying, the algorithms and whatnot, and they can take a fraction of a second out of a derivative and add to it, these guys are creating fake numbers through the roof, and then it totally denies somebody the ability to fix the back porch in 3 weeks because there's no cash money floating around.
I agree. That's why we've got to get rid of this central banking system. It's going to fall on its own. It's starting to anyway.
Yeah.
But we need to recognize it as the base of the problem, and so we don't fall right back into it again, into, you know, this history repeating itself of the central banks getting control of the government again.
Sure.
Yeah, thanks, Woody Wilson.
I'll split, but one last thing. I'm a big believer in global warming, and to me, the future work that needs to be done is repairs of the earth. Right, whether it's cleaning up hazardous wastes, dismantling stuff at the shoreline, pulling it back before the flooding, all of this, the rebuilding of the original state of the planet.
Would that be the Al Gore flooding that got here a couple of years ago?
Well, it's rising by inches. So the Pentagon has already been protecting the Northwest Passage. So, and they've been doing that for 10 years. So the Pentagon's already got a global warming budget.
Well, I will be on your side when we start getting truth in the production of the actual facts. Because
pollution's already happening. Listen
to what I'm saying. Is the media has been misreporting the facts on global warming. I'm not saying that you're not correct in your assumption that global warming is happening. saying. What I'm saying is the solutions that have been presented without the actual underlying facts in general, because most of the people have been doing the research are on the payroll but for the government. And that's the problem. They keep skewing all the facts, so we don't know what the solutions are properly, and it becomes a takeover of our rights as opposed to an actual solving of the problem.
Yeah, we don't even have an appropriate data set to calculate the true depth of the problem, because the planet's been getting warmer since the Ice Age, Dave.
It's local project. Well, of course it has.
But how are they being
funded? It's been warming up since the Ice Age.
You got to look at the funding. You know, you can't just assume that they're correct on their assumptions, because their funding has been skewing the facts, and there's no
right.
question
but
about
we've
that.
But we've had at some point in the middle of the Ice Age and now, we got matches and we got the ability to burn stuff 24 hours a day, and we're having people driving across a parking lot to get a pack of smokes. And it's gotten so stupid about how much we're burning up the oxygen and cutting down the trees and killing the oceans. Where's this great...
Dave, a wildfire in Northern California generates more carbon imprint than all of the cars in the United States in a year.
It's horrible. Absolutely, because you imagine all of that topsoil that's being ruined and all of this...
It is.
We're losing a massive amount because of polluters. Polluters are poisoning the planet.
But the point is, Dave, is these catastrophic wildfires, these catastrophic wildfires, Dave, are actually generating more carbon than all of the other emissions in our country in a single wildfire. And why are those wildfires occurring? It's because we're not doing proper maintenance in our forests because of the kind of environmental regulations you're saying that we need.
By the way, you're not saying that wildfire is... That's what, some frozen moment per day, right? 1 second worth of wildfire is worth 1 second worth of...
I'm telling you that an acre worth of wildfire is worth 770 cars per acre running for a year. Every acre. We just lost 10% of Trinity County to fire, which is roughly 10% of the size of Texas. Now, if you take...
Your interest rates go up because of that?
What?
If you lose 10% of your collateral in a matter of a month...
It's not considered collateral anymore because it's not harvestable because of the type of environmental regulations that you are saying that we tried to meet because of nonsense science.
Well, it should, but then again, the controls that are on everything is out of control. I mean, and you know, let's take a look at the EPA and this river. You know, we can't keep looking to the guys that are part of the problem to solve the problem, is my point. You know, the EPA just pollutes a river. Nobody gets fired. No, you know, they it's absolutely off the charts, and it doesn't get mainstream media coverage.
Oh, it's getting... I'm from Grand Junction. I'm familiar with that. It's horrible, man. And then those dumbasses allowed that lawsuit. You know, Richard Nixon was the one that created the EPA, and that Superfund stability was like within 2 or 3 years later, and they've sat on that case for 50 years. They refused to get that actual old gold mine thing is like 100 years old, and they never cleaned
it. Well, you're illustrating my point. We can't look to the guys who are causing the problem to solve the problem.
Well, they still dawdled around for 50 years. And
we have a prime example of that in our own backyard with Iron Mountain.
That gets into the whole LIBOR and everything.
Yeah, I know. We're probably getting way too deep. But I think we can agree on a lot of things, Dave. I don't think we can agree on everything, which is fine. But I think that the truth is starting to come out in all these different areas now, because people are not paying attention to the mainstream media like they used to, and they're doing their own fact checking, and that's what needs to happen. We need to have real science.
Well, let me wrap up with, to me, the work projects we need to do is cleaning up and restoring the planet, you know, God's green earth.
Sure.
And the whole idea that we've got commerce projects that are demanding higher and higher returns on investment, that's chopping up the natural resources faster and faster and faster.
Formula, Dave, you still have to produce actual wealth.
Right.
But according to LIBOR or according to RESTORE?
According to the laws of economics.
Yeah. Laws of economics are phony. Laws of nature, laws of physics are
real.
What
about supply and demand? Do you believe in supply and demand?
That's an artifice based upon laws of economics.
supply and demand is
sure, you can have greedy people wanting some tchotchke, but you know what's
what about food and water and shelter?
What about people who are just hungry and want something to eat? They're greedy too.
Is that fictional in the supply and demand?
Well, if people are kept off of the land so they can't grow their own garden, the nature is intentionally denuded. Like down here in San Francisco, with the solution to the homeless
but does
the
that,
most
but
corrupt
does that,
mayors was
but
to cut
before
down
you
all
try
the
to deflect what we're saying, does that somehow diminish the basic economic law of demand for food to survive?
If you create greed, you're going to have
so because
food
I want to eat to stay alive, I'm greedy.
Well, if we're going to have food riots, we can prevent food riots. Food riots come from people being
able
to
produce
control their own food.
You have to produce food, absolutely.
Food riots
are
a direct result of people demanding food and a shortage of supply.
How many acres did the subprime, how many properties did the subprime steal out of the public's pocket?
That's not the point or the question, Dave. The point of the question is there a fundamental law of supply and demand?
Well, I'm not going to project whether or not there's going to be food riots because I'm trying to prevent it, right? And
by increasing supply?
The Pentagon in 2004 came up with a report expecting food riots in 2020.
Sure.
So the Pentagon is expecting to be using all this mercenary military world rather than allowing us to grow our own garden.
So in other words, what we need to do is we need to get back to a real free market and real free people who have the ability to own their own private property so they can grow their own food, just like Thomas Jefferson envisioned an agrarian society. And so we're in agreement. Listen, we got to go, Dave. We're almost
okay,
to the end of the show.
Go for the commons.
All right.
All right.
Thanks.
All right.
Thanks. interesting conversation with Dave there.
I think that's one of those cases where we agree where we need to end up, just disagree on the way to get there.
Exactly. Yeah. There's fundamental laws of that we have to, you know, figure out what are. Do we have another, we need a break?
Okay. I guess with that, we'll go to a break. And we'll see you on this side of this break. We're almost time to wrap up the program. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
The only restaurant where you can enjoy your favorite cuisine on the river. Now with our new menu additions including classics like sweet potato fries, View 202 burger, fish and chips, and the old hatch cover favorite Mai Mai Almondine. Also new, 6 unique flatbread pizzas with toppings from beer braised chicken, spicy Italian sausage, to seared wild mushrooms. Try their smoked steelhead Benedict or the Cali Benedict with avocado and roasted tomato. And on Sunday, enjoy Linda Bott and her jazz ensemble along with bottomless mimosas and half-off bottles of wine all day. Happy Hour is every Monday through Thursday with drink and appetizer discounts. Friday nights are rocking with live music from 6 to 9. View 202 serves only the freshest local ingredients. Executive Chef Dustin, along with his staff, are passionate about their guests having an exceptional culinary experience. View 202, 226-8439. That's 226-8439.
What do you get when you add Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin to an amazing lineup of guests on KCNR 1460 AM?
You get We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Join us anytime online at wethepeopleradio.us.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream sound bites to bring you the entire story on politics, veterans affairs, land use, and private property rights. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us, where we've always got environmental craziness, Agenda 21,
Common Core, Foreign Affairs, and everything in between.
It's the most fun you can have while your blood pressure's going through the roof.
This Sunday, we welcome Jake McCauley, the CEO of the Institute on the Constitution, an educational outreach that presents the founders' American view of law and government. The IOTC produces graduates who have a full understanding of the biblical principles on which America's founding documents are based. Also joining us will be Pastor Guy Asherman of Redding Christian Fellowship. We the People, Sundays, noon to 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Grace Place Tea House is now serving gourmet teas, peeps coffee, and delectable treats. All proceeds from Grace Place benefit Compass Shining Care, a local nonprofit committed to extending compassion and hope, enhancing the quality of life for individuals, families, and the overall community. Right in the heart of downtown at 1448 Pine Street. So stop in, enjoy a special drink while you relax and rejuvenate. Grace Place is what we are all about, a place of grace.
Have you ever wanted to be in the spotlight? The Cascade Theater is holding an open casting call for its spring production of the musical Mary Poppins. It's the delightful show about everyone's favorite practically perfect nanny. Singers and dancers age 7 and up are invited to try out at the Cascade September 11th through the 13th. Information and appointment scheduling is online at cascadebackstage.org/auditions or 243-8877.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
When we're running down the wrong road, dancing to a different drum, can't you see what's going on deep inside your heart? Always searching for the real thing, living life.
Mind Radio. I'd like to listen to Michael McDonald for a little while longer, but we have a caller on the line and we're running out of time. Are you there, Lori?
Yes, I love Michael McDonald too. Bob is awesome. Quick question for the caller that just came in from San Francisco, David, regarding food, gardening. I lived in L.A. You can't grow anything. You have to rely on a lot of things to have that happen and survive. It's such a debate you can't have. The weather is a derivative. It's being manipulated. It's not natural anymore. The drought we have. Do you want to eat GMO food? We might have to if that's our last resort. But as far as people growing it, the air is contaminated, polluted, heavy metals, the water, the soil, the roots. I just wanted to put that in as I don't see how we can survive like we once did 100 years ago off the land. Both sides of my family were farmers, and this is just not going to happen anymore.
Yeah, even if we were to regress technologically, we couldn't pull it off.
We cannot pull it off, and not only that, with the fracking and the quake and the RF and the HARP and whatnot, anybody on the coast that's still living on the coast, they need a psyche valve if they think they're going to survive.
We're out of time.
All right, well,
Lori.
Thanks for calling in, Lori, and we'll catch you and talk with you next week.
Yeah, just so you know, U.S. shell industry is bracing for bankruptcy. The IMF just confirmed that the nightmare scenario for central banks is now in play. So with all that, there you have it. I guess we better end the conversation here.
Yeah.
You were born an original. Don't die a copy. Remember, amateurs built the Ark. Professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and fearful master. Who said that? George Washington. Pay attention.
And don't forget, no tea party meeting tomorrow night at 6 p.m. And this has been KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
KCNR Shasta, Redding.
World War. Thousands of men, women, and children have made it to Europe from Syria and other countries. Many drowned trying to cross the Mediterranean. Those who made it to Hungary faced horrific conditions. Thousands tried to walk across Hungary, hundreds of miles into Austria and Germany. Some refugees finally got food, water, and transportation, but their future remains uncertain. Connie Lawn reporting from Washington.
GOP presidential candidate Carly Fiorina weighed in on the migrant crisis earlier today on CBS's Face the Nation. She says the crisis